much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
And now,
I love baseball.
Me too. Sunshine, hot dogs, and cheap beer.
It's raining, dumbass.
Never rains on baseball.
Baseball sucks.
How dare you?
Our feature presentation.
But a nice tribute from the 1935 choral group.
See? That's how we do.
Where do you find that crap?
First of all, it's not crap. It's awesome and it's history. That's one of the great things about baseball is you can
sure.
You can whip up a song from 100 years ago. But I don't know. It's just part of the history of the team. Of course, that was back when they were still in New York. But thought it'd be a nice tribute to playoff beginning today for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Today being the 3rd of October, it is Thursday, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. What's happening?
Got a lot of show planned for you today. I thought this would be an interesting story to start with. You know, we've done tattoo-related topics from time to time on our program, but I don't know that we've ever done the most tattoos on one subject that a person has. Like somebody who really loves No Doubt and has 11 No Doubt tattoos.
Right.
You know, you just keep going back over and over again and get more of the thing you like. I don't know. I haven't seen a count on this woman, but she's in the news. Her name is Kathy Ward, and she's obsessed with the Twilight books and movies.
Sure.
She's a twihard or twitard, depending on which expression you prefer. So far, she spent over $13,000 on Twilight tattoos.
Well, she'll never get tired of Twilight. She knows that for – oh, wait.
Well, she might know that, Kevin, because she's 52 years old.
Oh, my God.
She's 52. This isn't a 21-year-old who's just gaga over Richard Pattinson. What's his name? Robert Pattinson. This is a 52-year-old who pretty much, I guess, is set. For
wow.
It doesn't say in the article that she's unmarried, but I'm assuming that's the case here.
But you know she's someone's relative, whether it be aunt, sister, mom. It's not – somebody is embarrassed of her.
Absolutely. I'm embarrassed of her, and I don't even
right.
know her. I think I mentioned she spent over $13,000 on tattoos. She's not anywhere near closer. Her obsession started after she read the first book. A friend gave her the first book about 4 years ago. She was instantly hooked. She went on to buy the rest of the books and the DVDs of the films and all the soundtracks. Then she started getting tattoos. The first one she got was a recreation of the film poster for The New Moon. Then she just kept going back. She's got all the book covers. She's got the family crest. She's got the chessboard from Breaking Dawn. She's got the wolf tribal symbol. In fact, she has had 5 wolves done so far. Several quotes from the book and the movie, including, "It would be just as easy breathing with me," is something apparently something named Jacob says to someone named Bella. She's Team Edward, by the way, in case you're curious, Kevin.
Oh, I sure wanted to know that.
Yeah. That's Robert Pattinson's character. She is currently having a tattoo of him put onto her left leg. Obviously, I'm Team Edward, so most of my tattoos are of Edward. I'm definitely a Robert Pattinson fan. It's because he's not classically good-looking. He's different. I'm not what I'd call good-looking. I'm average, and he's similar.
Now, he's ugly like me?
She's 52 years old, and she's far from average. I mean, having said that, she's well below average.
Okay.
I don't know that a body full of Twilight tattoos is going to improve her looks.
Right, but is it going to hurt? I mean, at her point.
I don't know. I don't know.
Does it say if she was clean, no tattoos, before she was 58 and started this obsession?
It doesn't say if she had any tattoos before. There's no mention of that. That's a great question. There's nothing in any of the photos that show anything other than Twilight
that
tattoos.
That would be awesome if she lived 58 years with no tattoos and all of a sudden went crazy.
She also, and I think this is interesting, by the way, she credits the Twilight books and movies and her tattoo obsession with helping her lose weight. She said that she used to just sit around and eat all the time, and then she became so obsessed with Twilight that it gave her something to be excited about, something to spend her time doing, and she has lost 90 pounds since she discovered Twilight.
Wow.
So she's got a lot of things going on in her life. But
No, she doesn't. She's got one thing going on in her life, and that's over.
She sure has a lot of Twilight tattoos.
Wow.
I'll tell you that.
What a catch.
That's what she's saving her money for. Every time she gets a little money in the bank, she thinks, what can I spend this on? Oh, right. My right knee.
Oh, that poor girl. She'll never meet a guy again. Ever.
Possibly so.
Ugh. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Can you just stop getting up on me?
No. In studio / He's got a new horror movie that he has. I guess he's the executive producer. He's the executive producer of, did the music for, very excited about. So we're going to talk to him today.
When we ran into him at Comic-Con, I seem to remember that he told us that movies are something he's been interested in just as much or as longer as rock music.
Yeah.
Just something he's always wanted to do, and now he's got the chance to do it.
And we said, what do you know about producing a movie? And he said, nothing really. Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Fantastic.
Got to get some clips from the latest Armenian Comedian podcast, which Omar is, he's a saint. I mean, he should have sainthood because Sam comes in and we all avoid him. And then he goes into Omar's studio and they do a half hour to an hour show.
I don't see what Omar gets out of that. I don't understand the appeal of that.
I love him, but in small doses. Like, that seems like that's a lot of Sam. And this last time, Psycho Mike was there, so he was in there. I don't know, chasing him around with his penis or something. I don't know what's going on. But we got some highlights of that. We have Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
Fantastic.
We have Eric Andre.
No.
From the Eric Andre Show.
No.
Did you see the interview that they sent out for us, Bean? From Wired?
I don't think I saw that.
That's all right, because it underrepresents his craziness.
I did watch a couple of episodes of the Eric Andre Show.
And anything better?
Is there anything worse?
That's what I mean.
But better. I mean, but both are true.
But it's awesome.
It may be the worst show ever. It may be the best show ever. I don't know. I may not have been high enough to get on Eric Andre's wavelength. But he can't be like that in person.
Oh, he's worse.
He can't. That has to be the nonsense he does to make the TV show entertaining.
That is the nonsense he does to make the TV show entertaining.
And you can't go through life like that.
He does. We've had him in before. You were on vacation.
This is going to be exhausting.
Oh, it's the best. Because Bean really needs to have an interview be an interview. And Eric really won't let that happen. So that's going to be fun. He's going to be in the 7 o'clock hour. I don't know if you watched MTV last night, Miley Cyrus, The Movement.
I can't wait to hear about that.
Brought in some highlights of that.
Are you a fan now?
No.
Okay.
It was really sort of a waste of my hour. It wasn't horrible. It's just her talking about how unique she is.
Did she stick her tongue out?
Oh, a lot, yeah.
There's our Miley.
That she did. She stuck her tongue out a lot. Apparently, they uncovered some old Kevin and Bean tape that Ralph's very excited to bring to you.
I'm terrified to hear that news.
Every single time this happens, we're terrified because...
Well, whatever Ralph found from the archives can't be any worse than any show of the past month. So, I guess just bring it on.
I think it can. And we have a brand new internet roundup for you today. Plus, more talk about the Dodgers being in the playoffs. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's 106.7 K-Rock is KRLQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up right after the top of the hour in just a few minutes. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Usually it's Ralph Garman, but he's doing the beat just for his pillow right now, so we're going to fill in for him. It was a big story yesterday that was headline news all around the world, and that is a verdict coming down in the AEG Live case. Now, this was the case that I followed not at all, Kevin. You may have had more interest in this than I did.
I did, yeah.
But the gist of it, as I understand it, and please jump in and tell me if I'm wrong. The gist of it was that AEG Live was being accused by the estate of Michael Jackson for being liable for Michael Jackson's death because they hired Dr. Conrad Murray to look after him.
Yes. That's
okay.
True.
So they lost. They lost the case. It was ruled yesterday by the jury that AEG was not liable. Now, they're not saying that Dr. Murray wasn't a terrible doctor or that he didn't eventually kill Michael Jackson. But what they're saying was that he was a reasonable choice to hire at the beginning to look after Michael Jackson, and that Michael Jackson really had as much to do with the hiring as AEG did. He was the talent who wanted that doctor, he got him.
He had more to do with that. He would not sign the deal with AEG unless they hired Dr. Conrad Murray. It was part of his deal.
So he signed his own death warrant, basically, by bringing that doctor into the fold.
So then they were trying to get between $1 billion and $2 billion because of lost wages and everything else that he might have made someday.
So they knew, so the Jackson family knew that.
Yes.
This was just a cash grab.
I would think so. It just seems so stupid to me from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I barely followed this case, but my impression was always, how could you hold them liable for it? So I was actually happy to see that that's the way the verdict came down anyway.
An actual verdict in Los Angeles in a celebrity case that went well. I think it went well. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. She continues. I'm sorry, Taylor Swiftler. She continues.
To be awesome.
To be awesome.
Thank you.
She thinks that. I'm going to get your take on this then, Bean. She thinks that she knows why people pick on her.
Okay.
First of all, people pick on her. And that's a problem. But she knows why. And she tells Glamour magazine in Britain that it's because she's a girl. That if she was a guy, they wouldn't hassle her. But if you're a girl and you're successful, you get kicked around.
Now, is she saying specifically because people make fun of her for the song she writes about her relationships? Because if that's her point, I mean, there are lots of guys. John Mayer comes to mind, who bangs everyone in Hollywood and writes songs about it. Nobody makes fun of him. Is that her point?
He's a dude. Yeah, that's her point. Is just she has the unlucky fortune of being a girl. And if you're going to be successful, people will try and tear you down.
I don't think that's a true blanket statement.
I think that's a false blanket statement.
Yeah.
But it's Taylor Swiftler. So
I mean, I think there are some double standards in how we treat women versus how we treat men. Absolutely.
Right, but she's particularly heinous. As a human being.
It has nothing to do with guy or girl.
She's a heinous human being. Right?
We must agree to disagree on that one.
Who's with me?
Hey, Lamar Odom was interviewed by TMZ.com yesterday. I was happy to see this. He's a guy who, every time he's out of the news for like a week, I just assume he's dead, that he's overdosed somewhere.
Oh, man, how you gotta go like that?
Well, but he's a drug addict. Other story that we hear about him is how he, every single day, he's, you know, driving 90 miles to get drugs or sending his people to do so. Well, they interviewed him yesterday. He looked good. He sounded good. He said he's been sober for 5 days, which is great news. But he also says he believes he can maintain sobriety without going to rehab. He believes in what he calls self-healing, says he has the willpower to kick his drug habit on his own. Now, haven't there been about 100 million addicts before him who have said the same thing, which is, I don't need any help. I can stop it whenever I want. Piece of cake.
And
it's
by the
easy.
Way, I think some people are lucky enough that they can, but
yes,
they're the exception.
I agree.
But they're the exception.
Absolutely. He says that he has done it successfully before, and that he's convinced he can do it again, which that sentence makes me laugh out loud, because if he's quit before, obviously he didn't stay quit if he started up again.
Yeah.
That's the whole point here. He also says he is telling people that he is removing certain friends from his life so that he does not relapse. So he, doesn't sound like, according to this interview with TMZ, that he's doing any of this because he wants to get back with Khloe Kardashian, by the way. You remember his wife who laid down the law about his drug
use. I'm positive he probably doesn't.
He says, at least sources close to Lamar say, that his motivation for sobriety seems to be more focused on he wants to play basketball again.
Wow.
He believes once he has achieved a level of sobriety, he will be able to rejoin a team. I just have to think, at his age, and with this drug problem for the past year or two, that he's just got to be damaged goods for some team, right?
Yeah, it's sort of sad. I've always thought he had so much more potential than he ever reached. Even back when he was playing with the Clippers, before he went to the Lakers, you look at the guy and you go, he's built like a basketball player. He's got everything. He's going to be awesome. And he was never awesome.
Right. He did not live up to his potential. But I just think that I can't imagine that anyone would take a chance on him now unless... I mean, I would say unless he's clean for a long time, but he would just get older and older while he was waiting for that.
Yeah, that may not work. There's a new day on the calendar now. November 23rd is 1D Day.
Do we need that?
The UK boy band One Direction will do a 7-hour live stream that day with special guests, live performances, and lots of interactions with their fans.
I suspect that whoever's still into One Direction will be done with them by the end of November.
Most likely.
Doesn't it seem like they're a carton of milk that already is several weeks past?
Yeah, they're a little sour. But you know what? I did want to bring up one thing, and that's how many Direction guys are there? Five?
Yes. Six? Five? Yes, five guys.
Five guys in One Direction. And you don't really hear any douchebaggery coming out of that camp. You know what I mean? Like these guys aren't out there causing trouble. And there's okay. five of them.
Right.
And then you compare them with Justin Bieber.
Right.
Who's just a douchebag every single day. He's
That's
causing
right.
enough doucheness in the world to cover One Direction as well, and nothing's coming out of that camp.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Congratulations to One Direction for not being Justin Bieber.
Yeah, they're also, you know, young, good-looking, famous, rich.
And there's five of them.
Five of them, and they're keeping it pretty clean.
How is one of them not going crazy?
Yeah, that's true. Two movie notes before we close on this edition of the Showbiz Beat. First of all, I'm sorry that Ralph is not here, but I'm sure he is very excited to see the announcement that came out yesterday that Ted 2 has a release date.
Oh. Yeah!
Ted, of course, one of the most successful movies of all time. I think it holds the record for the biggest box office, worldwide box office, for any R-rated movie, if I recall correctly. It made over $500 million last summer. There will be a sequel. No word on whether Mark Wahlberg's character's dad, Ralph Garman, is going to be in the film or not. We'll have to ask him when we see him. But the film is coming out, Kevin, if you want to put it on your calendar, June 26th. 2015.
Oh, come on. Don't even make the announcement if it's that far away.
June 26th, not next year.
Wow.
But the year after.
I'd probably watch that movie 10 times.
It's sure great.
Yeah.
It's sure great. And finally, if you're a Julianne Moore fan, as I am, I love her so much. She currently can be seen in this Don John movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. She also is going to be in Carrie that's coming out later this month. She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
All right.
It's going to be at 6250 Hollywood Boulevard next to the W Hollywood Hotel. If you're a fan and you want to be there and see the stars, including Joseph Gordon-Levitt, by the way, 11:30 this morning, Julianne Moore getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She is a terrific actress, and it is certainly well-deserved. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac? He is 64 years old today. One of the most curious musical oddities of the past 6 months is that he sings and plays on the Nine Inch Nails album, which in a million
crazy.
Years, would you ever have expected Lindsey Buckingham to be a guest on a Trent Reznor album? He is 64 years old today. Actor-comedian Greg Proops turns 54 today. Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. There's a name we haven't heard in a while. 51 today. Actor Clive Owen turns 49. Gwen Stefani from No Doubt, ladies and gentlemen. How gorgeous is she? 44 years old today.
That's a good-looking 44.
Kevin Richardson from the Backstreet Boys is 42. Actress Neve Campbell is 40. Sean William Scott is 37 years old today. Ashley Simpson, 29. And A$AP Rocky is 25. And that is your show. So how much of a pedophile did you feel like sitting down to watch your MTV last night for an hour-long special on Miley Cyrus?
I didn't feel like a pedophile because I was not perving on her.
Okay.
She's still like a little kid.
Right.
She's not a hot chick to me. She's just a kid.
I think she's very pretty, but she seems way younger than her years.
Yeah, she acts like
she's
a 12-year-old.
She's like 19, but she acts 12. Exactly, yeah. Right. Anyway, highlights, if you want to call it that, of that coming up. Also, apparently we have some very embarrassing Kevin and Bean archive tape, which I'm not excited about. That's on the way in just a few minutes. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We compile all the viral videos of the week and put them in one handy location just for you at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. There's some good stuff this week. We have several that are related to Breaking Bad. The first one we're going to hear, and boy, I never saw this coming. I can't believe I missed this in the finale of the Breaking Bad series last week. But apparently it's all been explained. Walter White was actually Scott Bakula. Breaking Bad was just an elaborate series that was an extension of Quantum Leap. Seriously, listen up.
Leaping around in time, I've been able to change people's lives for the better. But this time it looked like I leaped in a little late.
Oh, boy.
Who knew? Who knew that the whole time Scott Bakula was actually Walter White?
That was, someone was on drugs when they came up with that idea.
Yes.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
I think so. There is a terrible web series that is back called Will It Blend? And this is where they break your hearts
by taking
things that you want and getting them and destroying them. And in this case, it's the brand new iPhones. So there's two guys with two blenders, and they're having a blend-off, basically. And one guy has the iPhone 5S, and the other guy has the 5C, one of which is the gold one, by the way, that just sold out everywhere. So they go to the Apple Store, they buy brand new iPhones, and then put them in a blender to see what happens, and this is what happens.
Will it blend? I went to the Apple Store to pick up my new gold iPhone 5S.
Awesome. How do you not like that? They show the blender in slow motion, and it's cool.
Because you just hate to see someone destroying a brand new iPhone.
No, he puts it in a blender.
Here's an awesome, this is not somebody trying to make a viral video. This is a real life, just caught in the wild video that is great. This is one of those street parties with like 100 kids out in front of an apartment. And I guess a couple of people go up to the roof and they start making out. And then they move it downstairs into the bedroom, not realizing as they stand completely undressed in the bedroom, getting ready to do it, that they're in front of an open window, no blinds. And the crowd below loves it and starts chanting at them. The girl is standing there looking out the window. She's completely naked, and all of a sudden she realizes, hey, all those people down there are looking at me.
And it takes her a good 5 or 6 seconds for her to wrap her head around it and duck.
Yeah, she just drops like a stone when she sees they can all see her. It's very funny. And it has boobies. Huel was a lesser-known but hilarious character on Breaking Bad. I don't think he was trying to be hilarious, but he's a huge, fat African-American actor. He was one of the, you know, one of the muscles on the show. And this is imagining his character being a spinoff now that Breaking Bad is gone. And now Huel is starring in a sitcom, and it couldn't be more different from Breaking Bad.
Where's this cop Hank at? I got a massage at 3.
Vince Gilligan's Huel's Rule. Huel Babineau is back, but now he's got a family of Babineaus to deal with.
Come on, girl, I gotta go. This pizza has turned into a hot bucket, and it's ready to shoot out like a rocket. Huel's Rule.
Not exactly in the tradition of Breaking Bad, that's no. For sure. Jimmy Fallon did a nice tribute to Breaking Bad when it was gone, too. This is one of those awesome supercuts where they edit words together to make them sing. Here's the cast, and this is throughout the whole series of Breaking Bad. Cast members end up singing Bye 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 by NSYNC.
I know that I can't take no more.
It ain't no lie.
I want to see you
out that door,
baby.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Wanna
be a fool for you.
Just another player
in your game
for two.
You may hate me,
but it ain't
no lie.
Baby.
Bye.
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 Bitch.
Kevin, you do a lot of video editing.
Yeah.
How long would it take to go through and make an entire song out of words from a series like that?
I don't have any idea. It just seems like it would take forever because you're looking for one word.
Right, right. And one more on Breaking Bad. Somebody has put together a mega mix of all the times that Jesse Pinkman's character, this is Aaron Paul, the actor, says bitch in Breaking Bad. It's incredible.
Well, Heil Hitler, bitch. A wire? You want a wire? I got a wire. Speak into the mic, bitch.
Bitch.
We ain't seen the basement, bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Where's my money, bitch? Miserable son of a bitch. Where's my money, bitch? Huh? Bitch. I wanted to leave them on the counter, bitch.
And it goes on for minute after minute after minute.
Who knew they were that? I mean, I know that he's sort of known for saying that, but it is incredible how many times.
It sure is. Saturday Night Live came back this past weekend. Tina Fey was the host, and she starred in a very funny sketch that was a parody of HBO's Girls. She's playing an Albanian character, one of the new girls. Her name is Blurda. And here she is walking down the street with Hannah, and it's very funny. It's amazing. All four of the girls that they parody from the TV show Girls, they just nailed the voices. Check it out.
If you're going to live with me, you should know I have OCD.
I also have OCD.
Cool! You're obsessive compulsive too?
No, I have old cow disease. This is when old cow bites you and disease infects the skin. It's why I have rubber head.
Yeah, she has a rubber hand. Poor Blurta. Honest trailers are back. These are the people who can make even the best movies in the world sound terrible because they just explain what goes on. This time, they're tackling The Matrix.
Jack into The Matrix, a virtual reality simulation of the late 90s, full of flip phones, pay phones, mini discs, outfits straight out of a Marilyn Manson video. They'll face off against Agent Smith, a villain so cool. They just copied him a bunch of times instead of coming up with another cool bad guy. Watch as these two battle in this awesomely choreographed kung fu fight. Then in this CGI bullshit. And then in this Dragon Ball Z ripoff.
Again, it's a great movie. How do they make it sound so bad? Two more videos on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for today. Kanye West sat down with Zane Lowe on BBC Radio 1 in London recently. He did a long-form interview, talked to about an hour, and said a lot of crazy stuff. Well, we're going to save you the time because here's the Kanye West crazy interview remix.
Everybody is being served nasty lunch food.
Remember,
I am a god. Somebody's trying to set me up. It's illegal to be naked. You've heard that before, right? Mm-hmm.
You remember how
that drug
you telling me that they don't look at me like the mother
wanna diss one of my outfits? Don't wanna say that. Wanna diss one of my outfits?
It's awesome.
So Kanye is still crazy, but now you can dance to him. And finally, our favorite late-night talk show host, Jimmy Kimmel, is back with the feature he does called This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Two performing sisters are much different than the performing sisters in Thailand 3 years ago.
Do you want Jessica and I
Do you guys want to?
Last night, Paul McCartney. Tonight, JT. Justin Timberlake. Sir Paul.
Look, most Americans could not give a flying.
This town, Washington, is.
That's true. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com and see a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Round.
Kevin and Bean Internet Round.
J.D. Childers from Reseda is our latest winner of passes for Not Scary Farm. Front of the line passes for all 12 mazes. We've got them for you all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, including one more time later on today and then throughout the day at KROQ. Get your details at KROQ.com.
J.D. Childers wrote all those great songs with the Eagles, had his own successful career. I mean, quite a guy.
I'm J.D. Souther. J.D. Souther.
He deserves it, man.
Unrelated, completely different guy.
He deserves a good time.
Glad Bean knew that.
Ralph Garman, why are you here to spread misery? Isn't Kevin and Bean Show 2013 bad enough? Why do you have to revisit Kevin and Bean of the ages past?
Because you guys are broadcasting legends. and as legends, your careers are worthy of being given a retrospective, looking back upon.
Oh, so this is to show how good we are?
The work that you do now, but the work that you did then. Absolutely. This is a tribute.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh. To your fine work. And to those people who listen to you every morning and know how wonderful you are
right
now, they need to know that you were just as wonderful.
Yeah. You're a better actor than you are appearing to be right now, Ralph. And listen, save this for after we're dead so that Kevin and I don't have to hear it.
Please. I don't have that kind of time to wait. I've been waiting and waiting, and you just won't go.
Here's the thing.
Now it comes.
The rule is if anyone does anything embarrassing, they get lambasted. That's just the rule around here. And sometimes when – who'd you get this from? Where'd you get this tape from?
Listener.
You know, effing listeners.
The listeners contribute. It's not me. They say, you have to see this.
It's most of the way.
Watch this. It's amazing.
That's how Ralph gets most of it.
And
absolutely. It's just embarrassing, and we hate it, and let's get
all
it
right.
over with.
What year was it, Ralph?
I can't pinpoint it, but it's got to be 91.
Oh, we were good in 91.
Because those of you who just listen to Kevin Bean on the radio, and you know how bad they are on the radio, you are missing out on how bad they used to be on television. Because they used to do a lot of TV when they were young and still had, will to live. and ambition and hope for their future.
But we learned, Ralph, that's not for us. We did learn that.
Listener sent me this video. This is Kevin and Bean hosting Total Request Video on KDOC Channel 56 out of the Orange County. Yeah. And this is the first time I've ever seen you interacting. It's the first time, as far as I know, with the amazing Tom Silver.
Oh, the hypnotist.
Hypnotist Tom Silver was your special guest on Total Request Video on KDOC. So in between playing you know, Susie and the Banshee videos, Kevin and Bean would interview Tom Silver, and they took two people out of the vast studio audience there at the KDOC studios.
And by vast, you mean it was probably the only two.
There's like three people in the studio audience, and you had these two girls hypnotized.
Okay.
And the reason I bring this, well, let's start up the segment. Of course, this is known as Great Moments in Kevin and Bean History.
Kevin Ryder and Gene Bean Baxter have had a long, illustrious career in broadcasting. And now, for your entertainment and education, we present another great moment in Kevin and Bean history.
Yeah, this moment is Kevin and Bean and the amazing Tom Silver hypnotizing these two poor girls in the 90s. And the reason I bring this to your attention is because a lot of people think Bean has just been creepy as of late.
Yeah.
That his creepiness is sort of a recent occurrence.
He is cranking it up.
Oh, no.
Really?
Upon viewing this video, I realized the creep was there forever. It's been there forever. Let's start off where Kevin and Bean are introducing the amazing Tom Silver. And Kevin is curious about what he's wearing. He's wearing a tuxedo.
Now, we just have a couple questions. First of all, is the tux real?
Yes, it is.
Or is it a rental? Rental or
no? No, I own the tux.
He owns the tux. And is this hypnotism real, or are you full of crap?
It's real.
Yeah, so we've established that.
All right.
The tux is not a rental.
All right.
And hypnotism is real.
All right.
Now, Tom Silver says he is going to be able to make a girl rigid, stiff as a board.
That was impressive.
She'll put her feet on one chair and her head on another, and she will be like a bar of steel.
I remember that. That was impressive.
Yes, you were very impressed by that.
Oh, no.
And Bean was very creepy about that.
Have somebody be completely rigid.
Yeah, we're going to attempt.
Can it be me? Because I've had that problem.
Oh. Well, yeah, your wife was telling me about that problem.
Different get it.
The cheese and
the
creep was going
on everything.
Even
if somebody's talking about being completely rigid, how can you avoid an erection joke? Come on. It has to be done.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
And of course, even then, Bean was creepy enough to try to insinuate that Tom Silver somehow uses hypnotism to sexually assault women.
Completely and totally.
Tom, you need to use this power for evil. That's all I'm saying. Because this is a great... You can take over the world.
See, he had the girls just limp and falling over and passed out in their chairs, and Bean was very excited by that prospect. Bean loved the sight of an unconscious woman.
That's not right.
In a position of helplessness.
That is not right. His mind They're the best dates I ever had.
His mind immediately goes to what he can get away with.
That's ugly.
Tom Silver, once these girls come out of their trance, makes them believe they're modeling lingerie for a large audience on a catwalk. And so they're walking around striking sexy poses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, can you imagine how creepy Bean feels about that?
And just walk around and show everybody the latest fashions, latest lingeries. Could we do this for about an hour? Would that be possible?
We're going to skip the rest of the video.
And I'm sure that's okay with you.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
This happened.
As I mentioned...
Thank God it was on Channel 56 and no one saw it.
Tom Silver... claimed he could make someone rigid as a board, as a bar of steel between two chairs. You heard how impressed Kevin was by that even today. His motion hasn't waned from the original time we filmed this.
Now, we know that to some of you this looks like a total and complete 100% crock, but we're here to tell you that.
We've seen this man work before.
The total body rigidity thing that's coming up on this program will blow your mind.
Yeah, it'll blow your mind.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
We come out of commercial at one point during the show, and Kevin and Bean have no idea what camera they're on, what's happening, what they're supposed to do next.
That was true every
They just
segment.
Looked sad and confused. The only point in the video I really sort of felt bad for them.
It's the toes, every muscle, nerve, and fiber.
Welcome back. Are we over here? Over here. Welcome back to Request Video. I'm Luke Perry. This is my friend Jason Priestley. The amazing Tom Silver is a hypnotist. He's making her stiff and rigid the same way she makes me.
Oh! Come on! He already used it!
He can't stop himself!
Come on!
He can't stop making erection jokes!
The same one, though!
But at least he came back with, I'm Luke Perry, this is my good friend Jason Priestley.
Maybe that was funny in 1991.
Oh.
Maybe it wasn't. That was the least offensive part of that.
Tom Silver asks...
Oh, no.
You have to feel how rigid she is, how her muscles are all stiff and locked. And so he asks one of you to feel her legs while she's unconscious to see how locked her muscles are.
Wait, can we be arrested for this?
Guess who leaps at the opportunity to feel the unconscious girl's legs?
into the air, all the way into the air, and just touch your legs and feel the legs are locked. Feel that the body is locked.
I'll do that.
And then stay the cuddle up. So I want you to... Just...
I'll do that.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Blame me for wanting to help. That's all. I just want to help.
And you know this is an early video in the career of Kevin Beans because this is before they killed anybody on the
How
air.
How dare
remember
you?
Remember that time they killed that chick on the air?
That was Mark O'Brien.
This is before that happened.
I was a little nervous watching
I know,
that.
I was too.
I'm thinking we've never killed anyone on this show. Today could be the day. All right, we're going to come right back after a quick break. We've got Curve standing by. That one's for Jenny in Venice. We're also going to play some. Let's whip the card there, Claude.
We need another card.
The Rollins Band, Low Self-Opinion. That one's for Ben in Echo Park. And...
And Fire Hose Mannequin. It's a brand spanking new video, and we'll come back with that after this.
Kevin still knows how to bring it as if he's as natural.
I do.
As anyone on television.
I've always been natural.
You can never tell he's reading.
Nope. There's no way you'd ever know he's working up a cue card.
There's an exact opposite of Carson Daly. It's me.
I hope Kevin that's the end. Bria. Thank you.
Kevin and Bean and their TV... Really, I'm sorry you guys didn't have a longer career in television.
I think we learned that that wasn't our medium.
Right.
It wasn't even you're small.
Ah, yes. Truly remarkable. That was another great moment in Kevin and Bean history.
So, last night MTV aired a new special, a documentary called Miley the Movement. Which is a terrible name.
It's not a documentary as much as it is one of those self-promotion things like Michael Jackson used to do where, you know, you show a bunch of fans and everybody's going crazy. It's sort of like
Is there a giant statue of her in a square in Prague?
Not yet, but it's sort of like a hype thing.
She has a new album getting ready to come out called Bangers with a Z, so I automatically hate it. But I have to tell you, I love We Can't Stop, and I love Wrecking Ball. So I am so far kind of on board with the reinvention and the growing up of Miley Cyrus. I'm predisposed to like her, at least as an artist at this point.
You're also a fan of the movement.
For me, the movement needs to be something bigger than just a record. For me, a movement is something that... represents like taking over the world.
Take it easy, you're Miley Cyrus.
You're not taking over the world.
You're not taking over the world. That's not happening.
You may get a video on MTV, but that's not the same as world domination.
She talks about when she was a kid, as Hannah Montana, she would just put her face on anything. She didn't have any control.
My whole life, it was never about having control, so she would just come out with my face on it, and that would be it, you know? And so now, nothing can have my face on it, my name by it, that isn't dope, that isn't a part of the movement.
Oh, the movement. Yeah, she keeps bringing up the movement. Boy, am I tired of the movement. Wow, there's a lot of movement. There's just, she talks about the movement all day long.
So what she's basically saying is when she worked for Disney, they got to make all the decisions
right.
about how to market her, and now she's kind of running her own thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So she says she easily gets stressed, and there's always people on the side. There's her mom, there's dancers, there's producers going, you look good, you sound good. Oh, no, it's all going to be great. This is going to be a party. You're good. And they're propping her up the whole time. So then she says she's a perfectionist, and if one thing goes wrong, all hell will break loose. So then they cut to the MTV Awards, where she was supposed to get out of a giant black car with the blacked out windows and get in a police car about 50 yards from the red carpet. And then the police car was supposed to deliver her to the red carpet. And the disaster happened where they didn't stop for the police car. Now they're sitting in front of the red carpet and the fans. And what do you do? Because this has all gone right to hell.
Wait, did we not stop my police car? Oh, so my thing didn't happen?
No.
Yo, this, it's been ruined. So let me just get out of the car. No, I don't want to now reverse and get in and then everyone see me get in the car. That wasn't the point. The point was to show up in the car. This looks lame. Stop backing me the up. This looks lame. Like,
all right, now, so she wants to get out and she's angry, but they want to back up and put her in the police car, but she doesn't want to do that, but she wants to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't let her get out, and then they open the door.
Are you kidding? Let's just get out. Good. I'm not... Don't open the car.
Wait, I thought you said open the door. Now she's yelling, don't open the door.
Are you kidding? It was just sitting right there. What was the point of that? Boo is all dressed up. I'm not going to back the... And, like, start over.
Because nobody knows.
Everyone knows I'm in here.
Not everyone.
Hey, stop. I'm getting out.
At some point, doesn't anyone in her crew just go, get the F out. Who cares?
Yeah. You're just showing up at a red carpet.
It's the MTV Awards. And then she does her thing and all the news.
Miley Cyrus gets inappropriate.
A provocative, controversial, even offensive performance at the MTV Video Music Awards has everyone talking.
A foam finger. That is not sitting well with the guy who invented the foam finger.
God, I hate headline news showbiz tonight or whatever that is. They went to the guy with the foam finger. And what does Miley think about all that?
We've been laughing about all the news because everyone else is so serious. It's great because I'm sitting here laughing. You guys are all worked up and like frazzled. I'm chilling. I'm on to the next one. I forgot about the performance. That's so behind now. But I'm coming out in pigtails, looking like a giant adult baby, basically, but doing really like naughty stuff. That's obviously funny.
Well, I'm not sure that it's obviously funny to everyone, but it's all part of the movement, Bean. And then she ends with probably 15 minutes talking about the movement, the movement, the movement. And if you'd like to see a longer version of it, you can see it on MTV this weekend.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is just the highlights.
That may be too much movement.
There's a lot of movement is what we're saying. And we're going to go to Miley Cyrus right now and find out exactly what the movement is about. Because I still don't understand it, even though she tried to explain it for a full hour. Hi, Miley.
You guys don't even get it. You don't even get it because I'm here chilling and laughing, and you guys are taking it all seriously.
Right,
you don't even know what the movement is. It's a movement.
But what is – I don't understand how this is a movement.
The movement is all about things that are dope. And they're dope, and then you move them, and then it's the movement. And you don't even know it's about taking over the world.
Wait, what was that?
No, I'm just laughing. I'm just chilling and laughing. You guys are all serious.
You have a terrible laugh.
I have terrible teeth.
So you're not hurt by all the controversy with MTV? You're happy with the way it went, huh?
No, because I know it's cool, and I know it's dope, and you guys are taking it all seriously, and I'm just chilling.
I don't think we're taking
it. It's the movement. You know, now it's the movement.
Right. I don't think we're taking it seriously. We don't really care.
I'll take it over the world.
It does seem like you go out of your way to be as controversial as possible and then make fun of people who talk about the controversial thing that you've done.
It is, because I'm chilling and relaxing and laughing. You guys don't even know what's up, but it's obviously meant to be funny. Obviously.
Do you have a llama?
No.
That's your laugh?
I got llama teeth.
Yes, you do. All right, enough of the movement.
I just had a movement in my pants.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
What we need to know about the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Atlanta Braves this afternoon in their first playoff game, coming up right after the top of the hour. And then Eric Andre will be here.
Can't wait. I love this
I don't know
dude.
That I'm ready for this. I
don't
love
know. This dude so much.
He's the best.
And I know that Bean's going to hate him, and so I love that even more.
Oh.
That makes me even happier.
Looking forward to the exasperation in Bean's voice is going to be remarkable.
Because Bean's going to try and make it an interview.
Yeah.
And Eric won't allow that.
It's just not possible.
So, Eric, you're going to hear a lot of that sound.
Well, it's going to be an interesting 7 o'clock hour straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose in beautiful Hollywood, California, Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come out and join us, won't you?
No.
Come on. Improv.com is where you go to get the tickets and the deets, as the kids say.
Don't also, say that again.
BabylonRalph.com is another option for you to get all that good stuff.
No.
Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., come on out and join us.
No!
Wow, that guy really isn't coming. Next Thursday night is the Glee tribute episode to Corey Monteith, who, of course, played Finn on that television program. Coroner's report is officially out today. Now we know how he spent his final hours in that Vancouver hotel room on July the 13th.
I'm guessing it wasn't good.
Well, it depends.
I'm guessing it was the best time he ever had.
Depends on what shooting heroin and drinking bottles of champagne sounds like to you. Does it sound like a good time?
No.
Really?
Sounds
like a good time to me. I mean, the death part was a bad result, but...
Well, yeah, that's sort of important.
Shooting heroin and just drinking champagne sounds like a party.
I think the first 90% of that evening was great.
Yeah. The result at the end, perhaps not ideal, but... yeah, apparently there was lots of drug paraphernalia in the hotel room, a hypodermic needle, a spoon as well, and two empty bottles of champagne. So,
wow.
The price of a party right there, people. Don't do drugs. Or if you're going to do them, don't die, I guess is what I'm really getting at. This is a fascinating story to me. Mia Farrow, Kevin, you probably don't know who she is, but at one time, like in the 1960s and 70s, she was one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Okay.
Rosemary's Baby, for example, was a big film she starred
in. Heard of it?
She starred in the original film adaptation of The Great Gatsby with Robert Redford in the 70s.
You hear that?
She was a big, big star.
All right.
And famously, she was married to Frank Sinatra from 1966 to 1968. And then she went on to a very widely publicized relationship with filmmaker Woody Allen. And she had Sun Yi, with him is Soon-Yi Previn from a previous relationship. Woody went off with her, his stepdaughter.
He started dating his stepdaughter.
It all got very sort of creepy, incestuous, and weird. Well, it just got a little weirder and creepier. She admits to the fact that she never stopped really being involved with Frank Sinatra, even after the divorce in 1968. Even while she was with Woody Allen, she had a long-time relationship with the chairman of the board.
Really?
Her 25-year-old son, Ronan. Everyone is starting to look at this kid. Good-looking kid, Rhodes Scholar, smart kid, got a lot going on. Everyone's starting to look at him saying, wow, he looks a lot like Frank Sinatra. This is the kid she had with Woody Allen while they were together.
Or is it?
Vanity Fair magazine asked her in an interview this week, could Frank Sinatra be the biological father of Ronan? Her one-word answer to the interviewer was, possibly.
Wow! Don't you say no regardless of what the truth is?
Not if you hate Woody Allen,
well,
first of all, which
okay.
she does.
All right.
And secondly, not if it's true.
Wow.
She admits that she had an ongoing affair with Sinatra for the remainder of their lives. Sinatra, of course, died in 1998. Ronan was conceived in 1987. Sinatra would have been 78 years old when he got Mia Farrow pregnant, if that's the case.
Still getting the job done.
That's why Sinatra's the man.
But
this
if you look
at this kid,
he looks just like Sinatra.
It's weird.
He doesn't look like Woody Allen, I'll tell you that.
No,
and he's got those deep, piercing blue eyes like Sinatra had.
Got it all.
Wow.
I can't believe you boning a 78-year-old man. It's disgusting. Unlike dating a 15-year-old girl, which is just right.
Isn't a 78-year-old Frank Sinatra a way better deal than an any age Woody Allen, though?
I think so, yeah. Kevin, you'll be happy to hear. Broadchurch is coming to the U.S.
Okay.
You enjoying the Broadchurch?
I love that show so much.
I like that show.
Yeah. It's on BBC America, where you can see the original British version. They're doing a U.S. version. It's going to be a miniseries they're bringing to the States. The really good news is Scottish actor David Tennant, who stars in Broadchurch on the BBC version, will be also starring in the U.S. version.
That is good news.
Yay!
He's brilliant on that show, and he'll be using an American accent. And he'll just...
How is his American accent? Have we heard that before,
it's
Ralph?
It's great. It's spot on. He's brilliant with accents. When he did Doctor Who, he used a British accent as opposed to his own Scottish accent, and you'd never know in a million years. He's really
impressive.
Talented. So, it's good news.
I was very sad to hear they were making an American version of Broadchurch because I thought the BBC American version that we watched was flawless.
How do you improve upon it?
It's great.
You don't improve upon it, but you know what you do is you expose that story, which I think is a good one, to a whole new audience who never would have watched.
That's what everybody said about The Office as well.
Right.
That's true.
Ricky Gervais, and they did such a great job here.
But I am now I'm now more excited about it because David Tennant is going to reprise his role, and he's terrific.
And if you're
He's terrific.
If you're a federal employee, there's an upside to being furloughed.
Okay.
First of all, now you can go to the movies. You get a lot of free time on your hands.
Right.
And if you go to the movies at the AMC theaters, all you have to do is present a valid government or military ID showing that you work for the government, and they'll give you a free small popcorn. So the government shutdown really equals free popcorn for federal employees. How awesome is that?
How do I get one of those cards?
You don't. You shyster. Hmm. AMC says the offer is good until common sense is restored in Washington, D.C., or more likely until we run out of free popcorn. So those are the options. Today's celebrity birthdays, Roy of Siegfried and Roy.
Also Frank Sinatra's son.
He is 69 years old today.
I don't know.
Lindsey Buckingham, singer, guitarist, legendarily of the band Fleetwood Mac, but also a successful solo career, 64 years old today. One of our favorites, actor and comedian Greg Proops, is 54 years old. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue. He's bananas. He's 51 years old. Actor Clive Owen is 49. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt celebrates her 44th birthday today. Actress Neve Campbell is 40. Sean William Scott is 37. And Josh Klinghoffer of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 34 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Bean Show at 5 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Kevin, your level of excitement for 5 o'clock this afternoon? Los Angeles Dodgers versus Atlanta Braves, game one of the playoffs. Road to the World Series, baby. It's been 25 years. Come on.
I'm excited for Dodger fans.
Not so much for you. Still not on board. Even in the playoffs, you're not on board for baseball.
Nope.
What if I tell you that our friend Dodger sensational outfielder Yasiel Puig is on the line, getting ready to play his first ever postseason game in his debut season with the Dodgers. Hi, Yasiel. How are you?
Hi, baby.
All right. How you doing?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
We're doing great. Where are you right now? Are you guys? You should be warming up or practicing or something.
Oh, I'm gonna head over to Atlanta pretty soon, baby. All right, baby. Woo! Got super weak. Hey, no, bring that over here. Bring the ice over here, man. All right, baby.
What's happening there? Man. You have a party right now?
Yeah. Hey, life's a party, baby.
Right.
Woo, you're super weak.
Yes, but why are you partying the morning of the most important professional baseball game of your young career?
Hey, because you got to keep things light. I like gold chains. You know, I like my Rolls Royce.
Right.
I like my big muscles. I love it. I love to live my life. I just love to hit home runs and everything. Y'all still weak.
And you got your own little theme song.
That's right. Like, right? Hey, by the way, who is this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
You got started. What do you do? Are you my friends? Kevin and Bean, you want to come over and party? Who are you guys? What do you do?
We do a radio show.
Well, all right.
On K-Rock, yeah. It's a morning radio show.
You guys, the media?
Well, yes. Yeah.
Wow. Beerma, can you get him back on the line? He does have a problem with the media. I have heard about that before.
When he asks what we do, we need to lie.
Okay.
Oh, is he back? Yasiel.
Hello.
Hi.
Who's this? All right, everybody. Woo! Yasiel, please. I love to hit home run.
It's Kevin and Bean. We're friends of Matt Kemp's.
Oh, you like Matt? I love Matt. Matt's my favorite guy. You know, he was just here a little bit. He's like, I'll do Atlanta, play some baseball. You know, I'm sitting over here. I got my friend Manny Ramirez over here.
Really?
What's up, Manny Ramirez? How you doing, buddy? Hey, what's up? Hey, Fred Armisen. How you doing, buddy?
Really?
Yeah, he's come to my party. You know, like,
well, I don't strike me as a guy who's hanging out with the Portlandia cast.
I don't like drugs. I don't like any of that. I like baseball. Okay. I love home runs.
Right.
All
right. Okay.
So, hey, who's this on the phone?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean. Yeah. What you got? Hey, how you guys doing? What you guys do? What you up to? You want to come over party? Huh? Y'all super weak.
We fix computers.
Oh, okay. Hey, yeah. You can fix my computer, man. Come over and fix my computer. You know, because I've been writing all these emails to say the media. Them.
Yeah.
You know
actually.
What I say? Manny, come over here.
Manny
All
Ramirez.
Right. All right, who did?
Hi, Manny.
Hey.
It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hooray.
How are you?
Oh, I'm over. My Ramirez called me. I saw y'all super weak. That's the better.
Well, it's nice that you're enjoying the party. Are you also going to be at the game? Will you be attending the game in Atlanta this afternoon?
I will say, my Ramirez said, what? Hey, y'all super weak. My Ramirez talked to Kevin Bean. Kevin Bean, the radio show.
Don't tell him that.
Hey, I thought you guys said you fix computers. You super weak.
Yeah, we do a radio.
I don't know why he hates the media so much. We're big fans of his. We're happy to talk to him, happy to promote the game today.
Get him back on the phone.
Very exciting. All right. One more time. Doesn't it sound like too much partying for game day? Doesn't
I would
it seem
think
like
so.
You should be sleeping in or something today?
Who let the dogs out? Oh, yeah. What's up, baby? Who's it? All right. Hello.
It's
we on the phone.
It's Kevin and...
And
my friend Gene.
Hey, Gene Simmons, you're my good friend. How are you, man? You coming over?
That's
bring
not
that,
Gene
bring
Simmons.
That daughter of yours, okay? I know what I'm saying. I'm f***ing the pipe.
Oh, my God, Yasiel.
You
seriously.
Can't say stuff like that on the radio,
Omar, put the cocaine away. Come
what?
On, Omar.
You have Omar there?
Oh, yeah, Omar's my friend, man. Come over here, bring the cocaine. I don't like drugs. I don't like rum. I don't like any of that. I like to hit home run. I like the ladies. That's right. Yeah, super. Who is this? For real? Is it Gene Simmons? How are you?
No, it's Kevin and Bean. But listen, real quick, what's the secret to beating Atlanta? They've been a pretty good team throughout the years in the playoffs.
Here's the secret to beating Atlanta. Just go to the game. Remember, you're playing a bunch of big bitches. A brace. That's what I have to say.
Okay.
Who is this, by the way? What are you guys doing?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Oh,
we're astronauts.
You can't trick me one more time. You know what? You tell me you're astronauts. You tell me you're a fake computer. You. I say the media.
All right.
I want to you right in the and then make you eat the of my.
Oh. Let's not call him back. Why did it sound like you're going to say something
Ladies
else?
And gentlemen, Eric Andre.
Yes!
Eric Andre.
Yes, hello, America.
In the
good
house.
Good morning.
Now, I was under the impression, I was on vacation the last time Mr. Andre stopped
Who's
by.
Who's talking?
This is me, Bean. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hi, Bean.
He was in a few weeks ago to promote his Eric Andre show on Adult Swim, and I was out. I missed it. But
yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
I've heard a lot. Well, I can't plan my vacations around your availability.
Oh,
sir.
Well, you need to change that.
That's true,
young man.
That is true. You need to change that.
That's ridiculous.
I have heard a lot about that first visit, though. And, Kevin, my impression is that you guys didn't know what hit you by the time Eric left the studio.
Oh, we had no idea.
Most of it was toxic gases coming out of that bathroom.
It was awesome.
Peruvian food the night before.
He did have Peruvian food, and he did destroy things.
Oh, man, I hope you have insurance on that bathroom.
But, yeah, there was no question and answer period, if that's what you're asking.
It wasn't an interview as much as it was an assault.
Right.
Bean, exactly. Let's get that. Who's the worst interview you ever had? Let's shots fired. Who's the celebrity right. that you were like,
well,
Noel Gallagher, stop! Get out of my studio! Or who was it?
It's funny you should bring that up, Eric, because
about
a week ago, we had Simon Baker on, TV's The Mentalist.
Okay, and he was a dud,
and we
huh?
liked that show.
Uh-huh.
And we liked him.
He was a jerk.
He was a disaster.
Why?
Look, you interview people. You know what it's like. You've been in showbiz.
Yeah, but I'm terrible at it.
He doesn't interview people, technically.
He was Mr. One-Word Answer, Mr. Know he has the opportunity to expand upon the thought that's being discussed, but he chooses not to. He really clearly just didn't want to be here and didn't care about promoting his show.
Yeah.
That was tough. So if your question is going to be, would I rather have somebody who comes in who's excited and happy to be here, has got a lot to say, absolutely. I very right. much mm-hmm. prefer that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want to outdo Simon Mentalist, whatever his name is.
By
that's
the way.
That's the goal.
Good luck with that.
The goal.
And I also want to mention, honorable mention, Tyler, the Creator, we had on not long ago, and he just hates Whitey, so I think we had a problem from the start.
Really? Wow. Yeah. What was it? Was he just like a was he grumping
well,
out
I think,
or what?
Here's what I think was going on. As I think his evil record company or MTV or whoever it was that was arranging the interviews, the overlords wanted him to talk to the white media, and I don't think he was happy with that. I think he was kind of doing it begrudgingly because he had to, but man, did he not want to.
Can you put those both on tape for me?
Put it on CD for you?
No, cassette tape. I want to hear a lo-fi version.
Cassette tape.
Or beta. Put it on a beta or VHS.
So, Eric, let's
just
talk
the
about
audio.
Let's talk about you.
Yes.
Let's talk about your show, which has no right to exist in any universe.
Yes.
We don't have enough channels on DirecTV yet to justify your show being on the air.
There should be a 24-hour Eric Andre channel.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
you guys are giving me conflicting
Well, we feel about you in conflicting ways.
But I'll take both.
How did your show, and I don't mean this as a joke, literally, how did your show get approved and make it onto the air?
It got rejected by every network except Adult Swim. So there was a ton of rejection before acceptance. Like every network we sent it to, they were like, yeah, no thank you.
No, but at some point did you say, well, maybe I need to change things up or...
No way. I don't want to change things up. That's crazy.
Well, I know, but if no one's going to see it,
what's
the point of running your head through your desk?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but
No. Then I would have, but, or maybe, I don't know, but Adult Swim, we sent it out to every network kind of all at once in Adult Swim. Bit so, and they were super.
They didn't
happy
have any notes.
Product.
They didn't have a little less destruction. Maybe
not at all.
An interview question.
Not
less
at all.
Blood.
They were like, bring it on, bring it on.
Now
the standards and practices is a different story, but
sure.
But the network themselves, they love every second of it.
Your show works on a lot of levels, and for folks who haven't seen it, it's called the Eric Andre Show, and you can see a bunch of episodes up online at the Adult Swim website. But it premieres tonight for its new season, just after midnight at 12:30 tonight. So technically, it's a Friday morning show. Although we think of it as a Thursday night show, it is an anti-talk show. It's kind of you're basically destroying the idea of a traditional. I'm a guy who has a show, who knows what he's doing, who has things to say and questions to ask.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
I'm giving a Simon Mentalist answer. Yes.
And where did this dream come to you? Were you watching Arsenio as a young boy and said, that sucks and I don't want to do that?
Arsenio, a lot of bath salts, a lot of huffing dust off, and next thing you know, I woke up and I'm in your studio. What was the question?
At what point
I'm letting Bean ask all the questions because I'm enjoying this.
At what point did you get
Bean,
the idea?
Spin it out.
That, I will. At what point did you get the idea?
Anytime. Just whatever you want to start, Bean. Go.
I want to take apart this talk show.
Bean, break it down for me. Bean, once you come out of your shell, man, I think you're really going to blossom like the beautiful angel you are.
Okay.
Hey, you a virgin?
So, you're watching... a late night talk show.
Take your
and
time.
You think that sucks. Yeah. I can do it better. At what age were you when you had that
vision? This sucks. I can do it better. I don't know. I just I love destroying stuff, and I love talk shows. It actually comes from my love of talk shows that I want to destroy them. So I don't know. I was also a big Tom Green fan growing up, and Space Ghost, and when Martin Short did Jiminy Glick, like all these anti talk shows. I always thought those were like some of the funniest shows. Even like early Letterman was like a anti talk show in a way.
Not like yours though.
Not like mine, but in 1981 or whatever, coming after Carson, he was like very kind of subversive, alternative talk show. So those are just, that's just kind of stuff I grew up. Andy Kaufman.
It's got to be hard for you to get guests.
You know what?
Do you have to like explain everything to them for hours?
No, it's hard. It's hard and it's easy. The easiest guests to get are ones that haven't seen the show, and they just walk into it blindly. And
you don't give them a heads up. They just sit down.
We try to tell them absolutely nothing.
Sweet.
Or I'm just like, hey, you know, I'm a talk show host. All right, I'll see you out there.
Because you can act normal. Briefing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in front of my grandma or something.
It's tough to tell who gets it and who doesn't, who's playing along and who isn't. Like Eric Balfour, for instance. Have we seen that? Has that one aired or is that on
tonight? No, that's tonight. That's the premiere tonight.
All right, Eric Balfour. Did he have any idea what he was getting himself into? Because he looked genuinely hurt.
No, not too much. We were also, maybe I shouldn't say this, a little secret. We all also were electrocuting him during the
You're
interview.
Shocking him.
Yeah, we would put shock collars on under the guest's shirt sometimes, and just like we'd be like, hey, we got this thing where we electrocute you during the interview, but we put it on very low, and then my directors would like crank it up while I'm interviewing him and just electrocute. We also had Chinese water torture, so we put like this little, my art department put a little like thing that drips one drop of water above the guests, so they're like constantly getting like dripped on during the interview.
And like, I enjoy that. Like,
and we shoved a bunch of, for Kristen Ritter, we shoved a bunch of old clams under her chair before she got out there, so the studio just reeked, and we just act like nothing's going on. We're like, what are you talking about? It smells fine in here.
Is Maria Menounos tonight as well?
Maria Menounos is tonight, yes.
She kept screaming, and I could tell she was getting shocked, but I didn't. You don't make any reference to
it. Yeah, no, why? Yeah, I don't. I think it's funnier if you don't know what's going on.
She just screams out of the blue.
She was coming on to me so hard afterwards. It was just like,
I didn't catch that at all, Eric. I didn't notice that.
You know, like, after the cameras were rolling, I was like, babe, enough is enough. Like, you got a man. I don't feel comfortable with this. Let's keep it professional. But she was just all over me. She was really disgusting.
I have a clip from Maria Menounos from tonight's Eric Andre show. Okay, great. This is going to tell you everything you need to know about the show in 3 seconds.
Oh, my God. I have blood on me.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happening tonight at 12:30 on Adult Swim. We'll take a quick break. Our guest is Eric Andre, and we'll return after this on the Kevin B. John.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new Eric Andre Show.
That's just,
thank you.
That's just footage of me masturbating, by the way. That's funny.
that's fine. Thank you. Eric, your show is obviously low budget.
I resent that. I'm making like $200 a week.
How can you afford to rebuild the set every week on your talk show?
I don't know. You know, the budget for the show is like 4 or 5 Domino's pizza coupons, and we just make it work. We just make it, a lot of CGI.
Right.
You don't have
by that you mean no CGI.
No CGI.
You don't have a huge writing team.
No, we have a bunch of writers that we meet with in the beginning of the year, a bunch of comedians that I'm friends with. But I'm writing for the show year round. I also got a writing partner, Dan, who helps out tremendously. He's a brilliant young man.
You were at the, again, the voice of Eric Andre here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about his Adult Swim show, which is back for another season tonight at 12:30. You were at the MTV Video Music Awards?
Yes. The VMAs. Right?
And you ran into my man Beer Mug on the red carpet.
Yes, and we were kicking it with Richard Simmons.
What happened? What? That's a weird story.
First off, Richard Simmons spray paints his ball spot. Just want to put that out there. Straight up. No joke.
I did not know that.
That stuff as seen on TV where you spray your hair in?
Yes, really? He rocks that.
Wow.
And I do too. This is all spray paint, actually.
Not way. Possible.
And he came up to me, and I went up to him first. I was like, hey, I've actually taken your aerobics class, Slimmins. It's in Beverly Hills. You pay like $12 and you can sweat to the oldies.
Wait, did you really do that?
Yeah, you can do it.
I know you can. Did you do that?
Yes, I really did. It's amazing.
Did you used to be fat, Eric?
And he's super dirty. I lost 400 pounds in that class.
The first week.
First week. First class. He's super dirty and insane.
What do you mean super dirty?
You mean
like not cleanly or?
He's filthy.
I don't know what.
No, he goes, this guy had tattoos all over his body, and he walked up to him and he goes, I want a tattoo, but of a bowl of salad. And everyone's like, oh, and then he goes, and under that, I wanted to say, toss my salad. And everyone's like, my ears just started bleeding. Just geyser of blood. Just.
Oh, my God.
So don't know if you could say that on the radio, but.
I hate the thought of Richard Simmons trying to say sexy things, by the way. I hate that.
Not what you want
to
hear.
All right. So you're on the red carpet and you're there promoting
the red carpet.
What are you
Let's
promoting?
Get back on task, Bean.
That's what
Let's
it's all
get
about.
Brass tacks. Bean, you're all over the place. You need Ritalin on that pink island of yours.
Maybe so. What are you there for? Are you a guest of MTV?
What's the question?
Why are you on the red carpet at the VMAs?
I just like walked on. Nobody stopped me. I had a white tuxedo on and like hologram Ben Franklin sunglasses. And I had fireworks, but I was like, you know what? I could actually get in trouble probably this time for the fireworks. So,
all right, I withdraw the question. So you see Richard Simmons, and then what happens?
No. I give you back the question. What's the opposite of withdraw? I push.
Penetrate.
I penetrate.
What happened
I penetrated
on the red carpet?
Bean to get on the show.
If you were on the red carpet, what happened?
Bean, I will penetrate you in order to get on the show.
Did you run into Richard Simmons at
yes.
all?
Yes.
Okay, you ran into Richard Simmons.
I ran into Richard Simmons.
Did something happen?
He came up to me and he goes, I was like, I'm taking your workout class. It's amazing. And he looked at me dead serious. He was so sincere. He goes, you have no idea how many people you have touched with your music. And walked away. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much.
Who did he think you were?
I have no idea who he thought I was.
I can't but imagine who he thought
maybe,
you were.
Maybe Bruno Mars.
I was going to say Taylor Swift. But,
well, that seems unlikely, but maybe Bruno Mars. Maybe,
maybe
wow,
Bruno
who did
Mars,
he think you
Drake.
Were?
I had a top hat on. Maybe T-Pain. I'm not sure.
That's awesome, by
maybe
the way.
Maybe Ben Franklin. I gave him a bunch of mushrooms or like a half an hour earlier than that, so maybe he.
Maybe he was tripping balls.
Yeah, he's tripping balls. He thought I was Aretha Franklin or something. I don't know. I get that a lot.
You do?
Yep.
Eric Andre here on the Kevin DeBean Show from the Eric Andre Show. If you're just joining us, Maria Menounos is one of the guests on tonight's show. Here's a clip.
Oh, my God. I have blood on me.
Has anyone been hurt on your show, Eric, since in season one? Did anyone actually get hurt?
Me. I got hurt a lot. Yeah. I went to the hospital twice, but No. I mean, emotionally and spiritually, yes.
Sure.
But,
why'd you have to go out twice?
Just doing stunts.
Just
I wrecked
into the walls and stuff.
The first time I went to the hospital was when I interviewed Vivica Fox. That was like one of my biggest injuries this year. And,
wait, what was the injury?
Why?
We've had to dump now probably 10 times for like,
yeah. This interview is Swiss cheese.
Clitoris is a part of the female anatomy.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Nothing wrong with that. That's not the seven. I know George Carlin's work. I know the seven words you can't
you
say
know
on the
lawyers.
Air.
Okay, you don't know
they're right behind me.
All right, so you're interviewing Vivica Fox.
I want to say Hot Package is a TV show that's on after my show. It's a new show. in its first season. It's an amazing show. Derek Beckles, who looks exactly like me, please don't get confused, is hosting this Bizarro World Entertainment Tonight show, and it is amazing. He's one of my favorite comedic minds, so please stay tuned after my show and watch it. Shameless.
It must be good if it's on at 1 a.m.
It is fantastic. It's one of my favorite shows. But what were you talking about, Bean?
I gave up on that question. Let me ask you this, Eric. Are your band members really playing, or are they faking it and pretending to play?
A little bit A, a little bit of B.
Okay, that's what I thought.
A little bit more B.
A little bit more B. A little bit more B. I'm the scat man. Bean, how come you didn't come to my first show when I was on the show?
You mean why wasn't he here?
Yeah, why
was
he
on vacation?
Where'd you go?
I don't know.
This guy takes a vacation every 2 weeks. You roll out of your bed, you're talking to a microphone for 2 hours, and then you're wiped out?
That's it. It's a rest.
Kevin's doing most of the work.
Well, that is true.
You're just the eye candy around the office, let's be honest.
We don't plan our vacations around what guests are scheduled. We go when we go.
Are you butt naked right now? That's how I imagined you. I just imagined you butt naked and your microphone's in the shower.
I'm just wearing PJs. It's all good. I'm just in
fully aroused? Fully aroused?
Eric Andre will be on the Adult Swim Network
tonight.
You
pitching a tent in those PJs?
His show debuts at 12:30. You definitely ought to watch it. How many episodes you think will air here in season two, Eric?
We shot 10.
Hopefully right, that wasn't my question.
Hopefully all 10.
Oh, really? You're optimistic.
Yeah, very optimistic. It's going to happen. It's a secret, man. You got to put it out in the universe, Bean. Come on.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. I can't even read. I can't even speak English. I memorized this phonetically. I
don't even know what I'm saying. Hannibal,
I was raised in the woods like Nell. Maytay and DeWay. Go for it, Bean. Shoot.
Your sidekick, Hannibal Buress.
Yes.
He had a career at one point, right?
Yes. No,
he was. I mean, he seemed like things were going pretty well for him. How did he end up being your sidekick on this show?
You know what? He's been in it since the beginning, since the first incarnation. Sold the show is I knew like it wouldn't sell on paper through a pitch. I knew it was so insane, like you'd have to see a little bit of it. So I put all my own money into shooting this little like 5 minute sizzle reel. And I've been friends with Hannibal forever. We started out doing stand up comedy together. We met in New York. He's from Chicago, moved to New York. I was doing stand up in Boston when I went to college, and I moved to New York. So we kind of moved to New York at the same time, just did stand up forever and became friends. And I had an idea for a show, and I was like, hey man, would you want to be a co-host on this weird little talk show I'm doing? And we rented out this abandoned bodega and shot in there with my two directors. So he's been on board for like 5 or 6 years. We need a team of directors working around the clock. They're directors and my co-executive producers, so they are my
Hannibal.
They're my rock.
Is so understated and so hilarious.
Yeah, he's a genius. I love him. I'm still one of his biggest fans. That's my brother from another mother. It's my homeboy.
Lindsay Lohan, right? Gosh. Yeah, you know what? I'm not even going to go there.
This is my failed monologue.
Okay.
Even though this is a new season, your joke writing hasn't developed at all.
He's so funny. He's so low-key and funny.
That's my Ed McMahon.
He's very disappointed in you.
As we all are. We are out of time.
No!
Let's stick around. We have to say goodbye. Don't give me that.
Is this show going to be on your DVR, Bean?
Absolutely, it
all
is.
Right.
And here's what I'll say about the show. And I don't know if you have a slug line or need a slug line, but seriously, you won't believe this show's not just on the internet. Is how I would sell the show.
Good.
Thanks? Question mark.
Adult Swim at 12:30 tonight. Eric Andre, stop.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Dr. Drew next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll catch up with our friend Doug Benson, who you recall was doing the show yesterday where he smoked pot with a celebrity and got high. Well, it got shut down by the man.
What?
He's been talking about this show for 6 months.
Right.
And yesterday was his launch day, and he came into this show to promote it, and then everything went wrong.
Oh, that's right.
So Doug's going to tell us what happened and what the future is of his program. And we'll catch up with our old friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network next. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
That was the greatest interview in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show. We're crying with laughter in the other room.
Just
crying.
Because he was toying with Bean?
All I cared about was hearing the sound I desperately wanted to
hear.
You
heard it.
Which was...
you heard that, definitely. He's just tired.
The tougher it is for me, the happier Ralph is.
You're not just a guy who can just go along with the flow of craziness.
No, I don't mind going with Bean. I don't mind going with the flow, but I like there to be a point. There has to be a point.
Right, but not for him. And that's
Eric
what
Andre
I love.
He's not nailed down to the details of a story, that's for sure.
Some people just like to see the world burn, Batman.
Right.
That's all.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Chaos.
This show is great, too. And it's like 11 minutes. It really is.
Not a big investment of your time.
It's about 11 minutes. You can really catch on it pretty quickly.
Gwyneth Paltrow is just difficult and horrible. Us Weekly reports that when she guested on Chelsea Lately, well, the story's got everything. She demanded to have unpasteurized milk in the green room for her. Unpasteurized.
What?
You know how difficult it is to find unpasteurized milk?
Yes. Because nobody wants to drink it.
You pretty much have to own your own cow and just enjoy it from the teat. Staff went crazy trying to find it in Los Angeles, finally did, put it in the green room, and, wait for it, Gwyneth didn't use it.
She just made him jump through hoops just to jump through hoops?
Yeah, she decided she didn't need her raw milk after all. Maybe she can find someone goop. I like to give her some goop.
This won't surprise you guys, but I know a guy who has a cow and sells milk right from the cow. Very popular on the island. There are some people who that's how they want to get their milk. It's completely no chemicals, no pasteurization.
Also how they want to get their botulism.
Well, maybe. I would be concerned as well, but there are a few people out there. Maybe Gwyneth is one of them.
People magazine just named Gwyneth Paltrow the world's most beautiful woman.
Eric Andre.
Yeah, right. More like the county's least ugliest man.
Where's the growth, man?
Gwyneth Paltrow is a leech on society.
Right?
Yep. I'm with you.
That's what we're saying.
Amber Tamblyn, congratulations. She was originally billed as a guest star this season on 2.5 Men. Yesterday, she got bumped to regular, series regular.
Good for her.
She was contracted to appear in just 5 episodes, but now apparently she's going to be on the show for at least the rest of this season, maybe next.
Now, are they changing the name, or is it still just 2.5 Men?
2 Men and a Lady is what they're going to call it now. No, I have no idea what they're going to call it. But Angus T. Jones, I hope his relationship with God is fulfilling.
Instead of with money.
It's cost him a paycheck. He is officially on the outs.
Amber Tamblyn sure talks about her vagina a lot on that show.
She sure does. Well, that's what that show is all about, really.
Right, right.
It's about the vaginas. Fans of Julianne Moore will be happy to know she's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. Julianne's currently starring in Don John, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt film. And, of course, will be seen in Carrie, which comes out on October the 18th. She'll play Carrie's mom in the film, which stars Chloe Grace Moretz in the title role. Jogolev will be speaking at the unveiling today.
Jogolev,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, 11:30 a.m. at 6250 Hollywood Boulevard. If you want to go down and see the stars for yourself, right next to the W Hollywood Hotel there. You can check it out. And finally, we're getting to hear what Britney Spears has to say about the government shutdown, how she feels.
Oh, wow, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
Someone to make it clear.
Right, because I'm confused. I'm not sure what's going on. I understand what the problem is, but Brittany is here to help us.
Great news.
She tweeted this morning, "Someone tell Congress to get to work, bitch."
See?
Her new single.
Because her new song.
See?
Okay.
Work, bitch. So,
see?
Hopefully the Congress will take heed to her strong political position and come to their senses.
How does she do it?
It's a gift. By the way,
she does good work.
She does. Apparently, Britney's not happy with her production value at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino.
Uh-oh.
Where she will be, of course, doing her Las Vegas concert residency. Not happy at all with the theater. She says Celine Dion got an entire theater built for her at Caesar's Palace, but Britney will be performing on the same tiny stage where Holly Madison and Ice-T's wife Coco did their striptease show. Not exactly the venue I guess she was envisioning when she took the gig.
But don't you look into that before you sign the deal?
There will be no pyrotechnics like her arena show. The stripper pole will remain on stage, which in her case could actually come in handy.
Right.
But what apparently is really bothering her, according to the New York Daily News, is that the audience will be up really close to her on stage when she performs. Which, if you're planning to lip sync for 90 minutes, might be a little harder to pull off than if it's arena seating and they're kind of a long ways
That's
away.
True. Hmm.
She opens on December the 27th. Boy, I'd like to be there opening night. just to watch the decline and fall of Britney Spears.
That stage sounds barely large enough for her snake, much less for her entire stage production.
Sounds barely large enough for my snake. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying by snake?
Yeah, Ralph, we all
you
know.
You get it?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
We all know.
Kevin, it's this.
Yeah, look. No, you don't need to
this.
Show me anything.
No, I'm pointing right where
Closing
I'm, what
my
I'm
eyes.
Talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Tomorrow night, you want to see my snake live? Come on out to improv on Melrose.
You know how to sell it.
Kevin Smith and I will be getting our snakes out for Hollywood Babylon. Come check us out. Go to improv.com for tickets or babylonralph.com. 10 p.m. tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I doing our Babel show. Celebrity birthdays today, October the 3rd. Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is 69. Now, is he Molly or not Molly?
I don't know.
Which one is Molly?
I don't know which one is Molly.
I don't either.
I think he is Molly.
Roy's Molly?
I think so.
I miss Montecore. He was a good tiger, that Monty.
Never really.
69 years old today. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, 64. Greg Proops, 54 years old today. Drummer Tommy Lee of Motley Crue turns 51.
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
Good point. Clive Owens, 49. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt turns 44. Nev Campbell, 40 years old today. Sean William Scott, 37. And Josh Klinghoffer of Red Hot Chili Peppers fame, 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know if I'm officially allowed to mention this or not, but Steve Aoki, who performs in that song with his friends in Linkin Park, is going to be joining us in a couple of weeks or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be an in-studio guest. We'll get a chance to find out what it's like being one of the world's top DJs. So stand by for information on that. Right now, though, how about Rich Eisen from the NFL Network and the very popular Rich Eisen podcast? And now he's got a new app to tell us about. It's always great to catch up with Mr. Eisen, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Doing
great. Always great to talk to you, man. How are things over at the NFL Network?
Well, we celebrate 10 years on the air next month.
That's crazy.
We're starting with tonight's Thursday Night Football game in Cleveland to stroll down memory lane and showing as many of our great moments from the past 10 years. I've been fortunate to be in the middle of many of them, which means they should get a sponsor of Rogaine for the for these flashbacks. But as they say in the NFL, it is what it is. And we're excited. I mean, it's a big game tonight from Cleveland.
Look, we couldn't have imagined when the NFL Network started. We, along with everybody else, said, "Yeah, right." Like, what are you going to do with that? The rest of the year. Now we can't imagine living without the NFL Network. You have created, you filled a need that we didn't know was there, Rich, and you are all to be congratulated.
Well, I mean, the NFL just with the NFL Network's advent has become a year-round sport, which is what the NFL wanted to do, is have people talk about the sport 24/7, 365. And when free agent news and the NFL in March knocks March Madness off the back pages in certain towns, and then the draft in April and May and adds intrigue when there are playoffs going around in other sports, it really just is something that we're proud of, and like I said, it's 10 years coming up next November 4th.
And you mentioned tonight's game, which, let's be honest, you'll be the first to admit you got lucky. When this was originally on the schedule beginning of the year, you couldn't have imagined it would have the importance that it turned out to have tonight. You've got yourself a game that a lot of people are really invested in now.
Well, the league is one of the hallmarks of the league is it's got a you never know quality to it, and the Bills are at 2-2 tonight with their rookie first round quarterback, who they're growing with and hoping he makes big plays, and he has, and EJ Manuel. And the Browns, their map to 2-2 was to lose the first two games, shock their town by trading away their top running back for first round pick next year, and start their third string quarterback who sparks a two game winning streak. So there's different ways to skin the cat.
When you look at this matchup on paper though, before the season, you go, this could go south.
Listen, nobody circled this. I'm not gonna lie to you. But I mean, we do have a good matchup tonight.
You do.
It's gonna be the winner's 3-2, and if the Browns are the winners. They're in first place in their division heading into the weekend.
I love, we always talk about with Andrew Siciliano that it's the greatest reality show in the world, the NFL. And I love just the story of Brian Hoyer. Here you've got a kid who grew up in the Cleveland area, was a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder, and now he's quarterbacking for his team and winning. I mean, it's just one of those stories like you never can imagine it's actually going to come true, and here it is.
Right, and he knows firsthand, though, why everybody has only guarded optimism around here. Don't forget, Cleveland is the place where an obituary was in the newspaper saying the deceased wanted players to be his pallbearers so they could, quote-unquote, the Cleveland Browns could let him down one last time. So this is the backdrop.
Wow. Yes,
for an interesting game and a fan base that's dying to see a savior come out of, as you say, their own ranks.
Exactly. And it's also a sad day in Cleveland having the Indians get eliminated in that one game playoff yesterday, too. So they don't have a lot to cheer about. So we wish them well tonight. Let's turn our attention, Rich, because I know you're on a tight schedule today, because I'm very interested to hear about the free agent app. Now, this is new, and this is something that you came up with and are offering, right?
Yeah, well, there are no apps out there where people can meet one another through sports. I met my wife at ESPN in the ESPN newsroom. My wife, Susie Schuster, came strolling in and into my life. It took me a while to get through the just friends stage.
Sure.
But we met, and now we have three beautiful children, and there are many people who want to meet through sports, and that's what this app will do, Free Agent. And then it's also we're launching it in Los Angeles only. It starts next Thursday. You can go to getfreeagent.com and pre-order, and there are prizes for those who go right now and pre-order. But there are also, as you know, a lot of transplants in Los Angeles wondering where there are fellow fans of their team from different parts of the country. And you can go to this app and find the bar where you can all meet to see your like-minded friends. The GPS function finds like fans within 200 miles of you to try and chat during games on the free agent app. So it's a way to meet people and also find like-minded sports friends.
Everybody's looking for an idea for a new app. This seems like it's so simple and obvious. How did it not happen by now?
I don't know, but it's here now.
That's crazy.
Like I said, we're launching it in Los Angeles to start, because we figure this is a great spot where there's a lot of college and sure. A lot of professional sports team fans that come in from around the country. And, you know, it's just an interesting thing where you can, send photos in your location, you chat inside the app, you can put in 10 sports to base your matches, including college teams, into the app. And then, so if you're a fan of, say, the Ravens sitting out in Los Angeles and you want to meet more Raven fans, you just put that team name in and off you go.
That's amazing. Voice of Rich Eisen here from the NFL Network. Again, the app is called Free Agent. It's available now. I have to ask, because I know you just had a little baby girl. Congratulations, Rich.
Thank you.
Your latest kid. Middle name, Mattingly.
Correct.
First human ever with that middle name, do you think?
I don't know. You have to ask Don. I didn't ask him, but I did tell him when I threw out the first pitch in May.
Uh-huh.
My wife did let him know that the middle name of our future born daughter would be named after him. I believe he went and got a restraining order on the spot.
What?
He did give us a look like he had heard this type of thing before.
Yeah. You know? Now, did you have a fight? Was it your idea for a first name? And then your wife said, well, I'll go with middle.
No,
but
we have two beautiful boys,
right?
Xander and Cooper.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was toying with the idea of wanting a daughter. And we talked about it. I said, okay, let's go for it. She said, how about this? We go for it, and it comes out a girl, you get to name her. So
wow.
Then we find out that we are, in fact, pregnant, and we find out it is a girl, and suddenly my naming rights have been downgraded from first name to middle name.
No, sure.
Which is fine. You know,
that's really all you should have.
I can handle that. She's from the Boston area, and the amount of unsolicited Red Sox gear that came to our house for our first two born boys was an affront, is the only way to put it. So I, when we send out the baby name announcements, I'd love to put a camera in it as it gets sent to the New England area.
I like it.
Mattingly, is my favorite player. I'm from Brooklyn and Staten Island. Again, yeah. Like if I had, if let's say, if I moved to New York from New York to Los Angeles, you go to getfreeagent.com and you can find out where all the fellow Yankee fans are.
There you go. And by the way, the Yankee great Don Mattingly, and I just should mention that you do deserve some of the credit because it was about the time you threw out that first pitch at Dodger Stadium that their fortunes improved and all of a sudden they became the team we now love that's in the playoffs.
You know what? I mean, Puig mania has masked my role.
Right.
In the Dodgers turnaround.
But you're cool with that.
I'm fine with it. I don't need credit, even though there is an I in Rich and Eisen. I can be a player.
You could
it's
go
not
to
all about me. It doesn't have to be all about me, but I appreciate you pointing that out.
Follow Rich on Twitter at Rich Eisen, also richeisen.nfl.com and getfreeagent.com and get the Rich Eisen podcast available on iTunes and NFL.com. Rich, all the best to you, my friend. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep. That's what that is.
It sure is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:24. Remember yesterday morning at 9 a.m. when we had our friend Doug Benson in and we were talking about his new show that was going to debut yesterday. And we were all having fun. And
Getting Doug with High, his new web series where he smokes out with celebrities at 4:20 every Wednesday afternoon. I remember, sure.
Sounded great. It's a good day because that was the opening day yesterday. It was going to debut. And then
he'd been planning it for a long time. He had all of his ducks in a row. Everything sounded like it was going to go smoothly. What could possibly go wrong?
Hey, Doug.
Hey.
So that didn't happen.
So, Doug, last night I wasn't able to watch at 4:20, so I thought, well, no problem. But at night I thought I'll go on the Doug Benson YouTube channel and I'll find out what magic happened with the hilarious Jenny Slate, and there's nothing. It's just not there. Well, so I tweeted at you, and I'm like, Doug, what up? And you wrote back what sounded like a story that needed a little bit more explanation as to what went down.
Well, basically, 9 minutes into the, we went live at 4:15 Pacific time. Jenny Slate was a very willing participant and a great guest. We chatted for, 4 minutes, and then at 4:19, an alarm went off saying that it was almost 4:20, okay. And then at 4:20, we had all sorts of pipes and bongs and different things to choose from, and Jenny chose which one she'd like to smoke out of.
Okay.
And we smoked at 4:20.
So far, so good.
Yeah, and we were smoking and laughing and talking, and the show was going great. It was a lot of fun. And then the first commercial break is about 20 minutes into it. And at the 20-minute mark, we went to a commercial break, and then somebody from the company that's making the show walked into the room and said, oh, YouTube, they shut us down 9 minutes into the show.
Wait, so you did an extra 11 minutes thinking that you were on and you weren't?
Yeah, we thought we were still live, and we weren't. But then we proceeded and recorded the rest of the show, which if you go to youtube.com/Doug Benson now, you can watch the whole thing in its entirety, including us discussing the fact that we'd been shut down.
How and why did that happen?
Because apparently, this is the thing I didn't know about. On YouTube, people can flag a video for content, like if they think that it's too dirty or...
Just anybody can?
Anybody can.
Okay. And this is why booby videos gets removed so quickly, right?
Exactly, because if 400 people flag a video on YouTube, then a person doesn't even make the decision. Just the YouTube robots just shut that show down without... They don't even go check to see what it is because, YouTube gave Snoop Dogg his own channel and he smokes on there all the time. So it's not like YouTube has a problem with smoking. It's that they have this system set up where the public can sort of censor things they don't like.
Right. And we see this in the news all the time where a woman will put up a breastfeeding photo on her Facebook page or something like that, and then her account will be closed down for the exact same sort of thing because there are enough people who make a note, hey, I don't want to see that, therefore nobody should see it, and that's what happens.
Yeah, and in this case, it's either disgruntled, people who have an issue with marijuana, which I've barely met anyone like that in all the years that I've been so open about
it. You're not walking around in those circles.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not in any prayer circles. But the people that people are telling me that this could just be one hacker who just flagged it 400 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it could just be somebody that they get pleasure in. Like, they may not even be anti-marijuana. It just might be somebody who enjoys shutting stuff down.
What a sketchy way to do things.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, so, and you don't, and the person doesn't really get any credit for it. So they're just sitting alone somewhere giggling like, I shut down this you know, show that was supposed to go worldwide.
So is the recourse then, because you say the show is back up now, the entire show is back up on your YouTube channel, is the recourse then that you then petition YouTube and go, hey, here's what we did, please basically open it up again, let it play, and they do?
Yeah, that's the idea, is that you know, but the trouble is that these troll people can, you know, unless YouTube is paying attention to it, which I think they might because they've got a pretty good partnership with Jash and VPN, but if YouTube is monitoring it, they can make sure that this doesn't happen to us because they'll be aware of it. Like, it,
oh, I see.
It was just it got by them, and
they
it,
can disable that feature.
They can wait for us. Yes, they can like okay. sort of wave it. And
I was afraid your show would happen. I was afraid your show was over and that you were just so sad today. I just saw
you guys. You both sounded a little giddy about the prospect.
Not at all.
Well, no, it's funny and bum. It's a bummer at the same time, but it's sort of funny because you looked forward to it for so long.
And we sat there, you know, kind of grateful that happened because the internet lit up with people that were angry when the show suddenly went off the air.
Ah, nice. Interesting. All right.
Yeah. And so it creates a lot, you know, now we have a story, you know, there's like a news story attached to
what
happened.
So they did you a favor. Yeah, you got to hope this becomes a debate. You got to hope Kathy Lee and Hoder are talking about this today, right?
Well, you know, I don't dream that big ever. I don't expect.
I like that's Bean's go-to for the tastemakers in our society.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
They're funny names to say, Kathy Lee and Hoder.
What I'm saying, Kevin, is something that breaks out and becomes a pop culture mainstream story would be the best possible thing for Doug's little internet show. I'm saying if it ends up on The View, that's great news for Doug because that means more people will hear about it than would just hear about it on the Kevin Bean
Show. Yeah, you know Jenny McCarthy's not going to – she's not going to, you know, appreciate me smoking marijuana on the web.
No, that's true.
Her autistic children might see it.
Exactly. All right, listen. Well, we got to go because we're backed up here. But I'm glad that the show survives and it's up available on your YouTube channel now. Last question. How did Jenny do with the powerful stuff that you provided for her? Did she get super silly? Did she take off her top? Anything cool like that happen?
She didn't take off her top, but she looked damn cute and was just – got too high. And
too high.
And that's what we want.
All right.
Okay.
She got too high. There's a moment where I'm taking a bong hit and she's just looking out into space and nothing is happening on what was supposed to be a live feed.
That's so, a surprise knowing what you were doing.
Yeah. So she was terrific. She was a good sport about it. She went through like several states. You know, she kind of regretted it at one point and then felt better about it and got more paranoid and took a little nap. But then
love it.
But we'll be back on at 4:15 Pacific time next Wednesday, and our good friend Jeff Ross is going to be the guest.
Oh, that's going to be fun. All right. Thank you very much for the update, Doug. We're very happy it worked out the way it did. We appreciate it,
thanks,
sir.
Guys.
You bet. Our friend Slash coming back to the Kevin and Bean Show next hour here. He, of course, from Velvet Revolver and a little band called Guns N' Roses. Slash is Snake Put, and now he is a horror movie producer. Fascinating journey. We'll talk to Slash about that. Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Bean. Coincidentally, I'm producing horror films, too.
Is that right? It's all the rage these days with the kids. Doc, we're so grateful, as busy as you are with your podcast, with Loveline 5 Nights a Week, with your HLN show. We're so grateful that you squeeze in a few minutes every week with us on the Kevin Bean Show, because it seems like there's always something that we learn about that we want more information on, and you're the guy we go to. We had Joe Rogan in here recently, and he was telling us about something called DMT.
Hold on a second. Joe does drugs?
I know we were shocked as well.
It was a stunning turn of events for us. But
he was saying that this is something that he has tried a few times, but he in general does not like to use psychedelics very often. I got the sense, Kevin, didn't you, that he was like we are a tiny bit afraid of it?
Oh yeah, not as I don't think like we are. Because he's done it several times.
He's cool, see?
He is cool.
But Joe is a very, very smart guy, and he tries to be very reasonable about these things. And in fact, he's right that all hallucinogens, even in cultures where there are shamans and, you know, medicine men and whatnot that use these things as parts of rituals, they have tremendous respect for these drugs, and they understand that they are dangerous. And many of them can sometimes kill you. We're seeing things like 2PC, you know, the 2PC and 2PE, people dropping dead at raves and things like that. Now, which are actually, by the way, probably not those drugs. It's probably the ecstasy that's actually causing them to to fall out. But the other thing, and this is the thing that I want people to know, is that my experience has been, and this hasn't been proven anywhere, and people are going to debate it online, but my experience has been that all drugs that cause hallucination seem to have a potential of causing brain damage. And it's manifest commonly as mood disturbances later on, various kinds of thought problems sometimes. So it's very the brain is such a delicate instrument. Why would you want to mess with that?
So a guy like me that can't afford that,
right? I'm on very limited resource.
Right, exactly.
Don't want to expend any more of it.
I can't get rid of even one brain cell, or I'll just stop functioning.
And here's the deal: people look at that and they go, like, you're making fun of this, but they go, well, I'm perfectly functioning at my job. I can still do my calculus. Yeah, it's not so much an effect on cognition and intelligence. It seems to be other kinds of functions of the brain, like mood and personality. And, of course, I mean, those are the things that are firing off so excessively as a result of these drugs. So DMT, Beam. DMT, dimethyltryptamine, that's what he's talking about?
Yeah, that's the one, yes.
Did he talk about ayahuasca as well?
He didn't, but in my research on DMT yesterday afternoon, I found out that this is where it comes from. And I guess there's a whole tourist industry down there in Peru where people from all over the world go down just so that they can ingest it somehow so that they can go on a trip.
And again, the ayahuasca is a brew of things, including DMT, and people have died from that. Probably not from the DMT part, probably from the MAOI inhibitor stuff, which is something that's related to an antidepressant that can cause high blood pressure and problems like that. And a lot of the so-called shamans that are guiding people through these tours are, in fact, not real. They're just sort of people.
They're frauds?
Taking advantage of tourists for the most part.
Right.
But again, people, be careful with this stuff. I mean, whether it's LSD, whether it's 2PE, whether it's DMT, these designer drugs, a lot more of it lately. I got to say, I think the internet has brought us a lot of interesting use of this stuff, and we're going to see more trouble down the line. Sometimes it's years later that the problems manifest.
Now, Dr. Drew, Joe said, and I believe that he meant it, that he doesn't do it to escape. He does it to, look at other worlds, yeah, and see things a different way.
He's the guy that floats in a sensory deprivation.
He does that
every afternoon.
He does that.
Enhance as well. he messes with his brain. He likes messing with his brain. Listen, I have no quarrels with Joe. Joe is awesome. Joe is smart. It's just for him to advocate it.
He didn't. He didn't.
Right. I wouldn't think he would.
No, he didn't advocate it. I mean, we tried to tell people to not do drugs, but we were fascinated by it, so we kept asking questions.
It is fascinating, and people, all mammals have the tendency to try to alter, whether it's spinning around or whatever we do, we try to alter ourselves. And, then we have always tried to do things to ourselves from the external environment to change our internal environment. It's a natural kind of an impulse, but it's not safe.
It's not a safe one.
And by the way, all the people that tell me, I just think that I've always still have a kind of an interesting perspective now as a result of that trip I took. It's like, really, what's really changed? And by the way, all you're telling me is that your amygdala is firing a little differently, so colors look a little brighter, or colors look a little more. It's like, what really have you done, and at what risk? So far I've not seen any great advances in science or in human experience as a result. Just haven't.
For people who are listening, who are concerned about DMT, maybe they're hearing about it for the first time. Is it something that's easily and readily available to people in this country?
Because I'm not cool, I don't know. I imagine all this stuff seems available remarkably easily. I mean, somebody knows somebody that knows somebody, and there's certainly online stuff that's out of control. So I imagine it is readily available. It used to be tough. I mean, and there are books and, there are websites dedicated to designer drugs and the nuances of the experience they have. Again, I just can tell you that I see these guys later in life, lots of them, and that I have taken care of, and it's not pretty.
Yeah. Dr. Drew, if you don't mind, I know we're out of time, but I just want to bring up one non-related topic, and that is, isn't it possible that the following statement is going to do more damage than all drugs in the world, and that is that Psycho Mike is going to be a father?
Yes, well, the evil spawn, the demon child is upon us.
He's going to be a dad, your partner.
And let's be fair, it's not the poor child's fault.
It is not, of course.
Yeah,
But does the poor child have a chance?
Well, we've got to pray and hope for the mom. She's a very powerful woman. I think she will break through.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, she tolerates him on a regular basis.
And we're hoping that her second husband is a better choice. That's what you're suggesting.
Your second one's not the soccer player?
Oh, that's right. No. Mike's the second one. I'm sorry, the third one. We're hoping the third one. She finally gets it right.
We are overjoyed for Mr. Psycho Mike. He's going to be a father. They're well on their way.
Yeah.
It's coming soon. So this will be a really interesting and life-changing.
Here's hoping she has most of the input, though.
Oh, of course.
Okay, good. All right.
Dr. Drew on call on HLN, weeknights at 6 p.m. and, of course, 5 nights a week here on Loveline, the Dr. Drew podcast, and lovelineshow.com, drdrew.com, all that good stuff with the great Dr.
Podcast
Drew. Thanks so much for the time.
Podcast1.com.
Podcast1.com as well. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Ralph Garman.
Yes.
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Thought there was more.
Me too.
Hey, you know the backdoor teen mom?
Sure.
Sure.
Farrah Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
Son?
Farrah Abramson?
Thank you.
What are you doing in there, Mugs, that you can't pay attention to the show? What's happening?
He's writing.
Is he writing stuff?
He's making notes.
It wasn't my fault. He's probably eating.
No, he's not. Both of his hands are occupied otherwise.
I hit the button. It wasn't potted up.
All right. Hey, geez. Man, that Rogaine's really having a bad effect on you, man. Whatever.
Fire beer mug.
Messing with your hormones because you're acting like a bitch.
He is turning into Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
It's getting a little agitated very easily. Ask a question, all of a sudden.
He's about at it with all of us.
Don't look at me! I'm hideous!
Fire beer mug!
Yeah.
Fire beer mug!
Yep, that's what my dad says. Farrah Abraham. The story this week made me feel a lot better about the world in general. You know how it was widely touted she got $1 million for her sex tape for the folks at Vivid,
right,
to do that film.
Farrah Abramson?
Turns out Farrah scored more, closer to, not quite, a hair under $10,000.
Wow.
Oh.
That's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Wow.
And it makes sense now why she's showing up at various and sundry strip clubs and porn conventions signing autographs and things like that, because, you know,
gotta pay the bills.
She needs a dollar to make you holla. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can't live on that $10,000 for long.
And she also needs money for all her plastic surgeries.
Sure.
RadarOnline.com is reporting that Farrah had her chin implant taken out last Monday.
Chin implant?
Yeah, she had a bunch of facial surgery done as well as the obvious surgeries done, plastic surgery-wise. And she had a chin implant to bring her chin out because she has sort of a recessed chin, apparently. So she had a chin implant. The whole thing just makes her look just... When she had all the surgery done, just made her look like some sort of...
Like a beast.
Like one of those twisted people who... like there's a guy in the Philippines who's insists on trying to get all the plastic surgery to make him look like Superman.
Right.
So he's got like cheek implants and he had a cleft put in his chin. He's got blue contacts on. He just looks like a freak of nature.
It all
That's
starts
what
going
she
south.
Looked like when yeah. she started adding to her face after she was on MTV. Well, apparently she had her chin implant taken out. It was her chin pair was taking quite a beating.
It was getting in the way of some of her professional obligations, so she had to...
It turned out a recessed chin in her line of work actually is a benefit. It actually comes in handy because it gives you more room there
sure,
in the chin
understood.
Region.
Understood.
I think we get what
you're saying.
I think we understand.
Other pendulous
right.
sort of
we got
hanging
it.
Objects. It gives them room to...
We track. We got you.
You sure?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Jack White, how talented is this dude?
Well, he's the best.
Pretty much, right? Pretty much talented?
Yeah.
Cool event happening for Jack White fans. The Rockin' Tours are releasing a live album on October the 31st. It's live at the Ryman Auditorium from September 15th, 2011. If you know anything about, especially country music, you've heard the name Ryman Auditorium before. It is the former home of the Grand Ole Opry and just a few blocks away from Jack White's Third Man Records building. So that's where the band performed. It also comes with a DVD of the performance, a new single from Jack's other group, The Dead Weather. But you can only get all of this at thirdmanstore.com/vault if you want to check it out. That's the place to go.
I have a clip of that new Dead Weather song if you haven't heard, because
awesome.
I'm a big fan of that group a lot.
Me too. Can't wait to
hear
it.
Different sound for Jack.
He is always reinventing himself.
He really does experiment a lot.
It's like the movement. He's got the movement. Freaking. And here's news. George Clooney is dating an incredibly beautiful model.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a departure.
The Gray Fox has once again struck gold. This time he is with
this one, man, maybe the best ever. Could, is it possible he saved the best for last?
I can't imagine.
Farrah Abramson.
Farrah, with her chin removed.
With her chin removed. Yes.
There's no last for George Clooney. This one is only as hot as she needs to be until the next one.
Save the best for the most recent, maybe, is what I meant to say. Monica Jasic is her name. She is known as the Croatian Sensation.
All right.
She's a supermodel with a nickname, with like a fight name on her robe. When she goes into the ring, she's got that on the back of her robe where she fights other models. The Croatian Sensation is her nickname. And if you want to do yourself a favor, Monica with a K, M-O-N-I-K-A, of course it is. Monica
sure.
with a K.
Of course.
Jaksic, J-A-K-I-S-I-C. Do yourself a favor, punch that into your search engine and see what comes up.
Oh, I see her.
I mean that as a euphemism.
Yeah.
Punch that into your search engine.
How old is she?
She is 20-esque.
Okay. And Mr. Clooney is still very close to being officially a senior citizen,
yes,
right?
Yes,
approaching
absolutely. Yeah.
55,
he's got
right?
All, he's got all
you say that with disdain. He's doing good work.
He's got all that and more. And he's an astronaut. I don't know if you saw it recently, but he was
in
space. No, he was in space.
That's part of a movie,
and,
I believe.
He was doing a spacewalk,
I think,
and
that's gravity.
He saved somebody else's life in space. So the guy really has it all going on. I know what gravity is, Kevin. Yes, he escaped it with a rocket.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., do me a favor. Come see me and Kevin Smith to our Hollywood Babylon show. It's happening at the Improv.
No.
In Hollywood on Melrose. I don't like that guy who keeps saying that.
God damn it, no! No!
Melrose Avenue. It's the Improv. Go to improv.com or babylonralph.com to get your tickets.
No, no, no.
Funny show tomorrow night. I guarantee you. You'll have a good time. Come on out.
The answer is a flat no.
Think Bean will be there?
Oh, I imagine.
Today's celebrity birthday.
He's been at all of them up till now, hasn't he?
That's right. He's starting to scare the staff at the Improv. They're like, why does that one tall guy keep coming every week to the show? Are you guys all right? And we're like, yeah, we know him. It's cool. Josh Klinghoffer of Red Hot Chili Peppers is 34 years old today. Sean William Scott, very talented actor, is 37. Nev Campbell, 40 years old. Gwen Stefani celebrates her 44th birthday today. Clive Owen is 49. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue is 51. Greg,
you know, if you mess with the bull,
yeah,
go for the gold.
That's what I always said. Actor comedian Greg Proops is 54. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac fame is 64 years old. And Roy of Siegfried and Roy, Roy Horn, is 69 years old today. Don't mess with a tiger, you get the horn.
I don't think that's how it goes.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Slash.
He is a guitar legend. All right, turn the music down. A guitar legend and rock and roll Hall of Fame inductee, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a thrill to have our good friend Slash back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Slash. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. It's a little early, you know. But, yeah.
I know it is. I know it is for the rock star types. It's funny. You walked in and you said, yeah, I saw you guys on the first day that I was out talking about the movie. And yeah, you're right. We saw you at Comic-Con in San Diego this summer. And I remember that Kevin and I walked away from that interview going, Slash has no idea what's going on with this movie.
Did you really?
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was at that – it was at that beginning stage where I'm the only one really, you know, there's no big marketing thing for this. So it's like walking into an arena that I've never been in before and sort of like navigating the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. We were asking you all sorts of questions that now you've been asked 100 times. But at the time, you had to kind of stop and go, hey, wait a minute. What is the answer to that? Because it was all brand new. You just hit the road promoting it. But I know that this is a movie, Nothing Left to Fear, is something that you've been working on behind the scenes for a couple of years. It's near and dear to your heart. I know you're very excited that it's finally coming out.
Yeah, very much so. And I've gotten a chance to see it actually in theaters with real audiences, and it's been really a satisfying, you know, because you go in there not really knowing exactly what they're going to react.
It's got to be a little nervy.
It's very nervous.
It's got to be like, oh, I don't know if they are going to be scared at the parts I think they should be.
Right, exactly. And if they're going to get it. Yeah. And if they're, you know, you see the movie differently because you're so close to it. And it's when I put out records, you know, you just put them out. I don't go sit in a room with people and listen, watching them listen to it. Yeah.
Because you trust your own opinion and you know what you like and that's what matters. Yeah. But this is when you're making a movie with lots of people and other people's money too, I assume, don't you have there are a lot of people who have input. You kind of have to make a lot of people happy, right?
Well, let's see.
Is it just your vision?
It's an independent movie, so you know, when it comes down to it, it's really myself, my producing partners, and the director at the end of the day. But at the same time, you know, when it comes down to it, is if it sells or not, there are people invested in it that are hoping that listening to us was the right thing to do.
If this is successful, which I'm guessing it will be, are you going to move in this direction more?
Well, I'm
going to
do it anyway.
You're going to do it anyway.
I didn't have any expectations going into this, even as a producer.
I'm sure your financial partners are very happy to hear that.
Yeah, I know. Right? But from a creative point of view, it was a lot of fun to do, and I thought we did a great job with the resources that we had, and so I definitely want to get into the next one. I'm out hunting down stories.
Oh, you already
now.
Are? Yeah. The film is called Nothing Left to Fear. I know you told us a little bit about it at Comic-Con, but for folks who were not listening, let's kind of bring them up to speed. This is based on if not a true story, certainly a true legend about a small town in Kansas,
it's,
right?
It's the town Stahl definitely has a mythology that you can go online and find out about. So it's a real place, and whether or not the mythology is accurate is something else altogether.
The mythology is
that it's one of the seven gateways to hell, and the actual gateway.
There are a lot of cities that should be called that.
Right. Well, there's a bunch of – I mean, obviously, there's six other ones.
Right.
Right. They're in Europe. But, you know, there's an infamous cemetery there that's supposed to be the gateway. And then there's an old church right next to it, which is a very ominous-looking church, which recently was torn down. But for years, it was just standing there, just a shell of a building.
Why would they tear it down?
Because I think, you know, they're like, well, if this place isn't the, you know, one of the gateways to hell, why don't you tear down that empty church that's so creepy on the block? You know, and eventually they said, you know, because what's happening is a lot of unwanted attention is being focused on this town and the people who live there.
They're not thrilled with that?
They're not happy at all. And they weren't happy to hear that there was a movie coming out. But the movie really isn't – it's based in Stahl, but it's not about the cemetery. It's not about the church. It's not about anything other than what –
Not about the reality of that area.
Yeah. The story here is based in Stahl and it's what inspired it. But it's basically a young, God-fearing family gets, you know, basically they relocate to a small town in Kansas at the request of the standing pastor there who's going to retire. But it turns out that it's a front for a much more horrific plot.
Good times. Mm. Yeah. Good times.
That doesn't tell you too much.
Slash, I know that you grew up as a horror fan. This has been a genre that you've been a huge fan of your whole life.
Yeah.
What are your personal beliefs on whether there's any sort of devil business going on Earth? Do you believe in these stories you hear about exorcisms and ghosts and things like that? For real?
You know, I'm fascinated by what I read and what I hear about and some of the fabricated stories that obviously become movies and stuff. But, you know, I'm open to anything, but I'm like most people. You have to give me some sort of evidence or proof for me to really believe in it.
But movies that scare the crap out of you, that's all good times.
Yeah.
You said
it's more of a thrill for me. I don't often get actually scared. You know, it's more
you just enjoy
something
it.
About the suspense and that heartbeat racing kind of thing, and you know, and the mystery of it, waiting to see what's coming around the corner, and you know.
I saw another interview of you talking about how your parents introduced you to
totally
scary movies as early as you can remember.
No, I mean, my dad, when I was a kid, my dad taught me to read before I started going to school. Right, so everything he was Ray Bradbury and Edgar Allan Poe.
Is he trying to F you up?
H.P. Lovecraft and stuff. And then he gave me one thing that was actually scary was this box of cassettes of Orson Welles narrating The War of the Worlds, which, if you remember, England thought that was really happening.
Oh, that's where you're born, right.
And So, and then there was all the Hammer movies in England, and there was a bunch of other British-based, you know, not to mention all the great actors that were from there. And then when I moved to the States, my mom got a hold of me, and she just turned me on to everything that was coming out currently, plus like Frankenstein and King Kong and some other.
It's like they got together and they said, "We need to scare the crap out of Slash. Let's
I think I was innately
you are tuned
into it.
Okay.
Like, it's something about, you know, because it was lizards and ghouls and dinosaurs and snakes. You know what I mean?
Of
and
course.
That was just, so they just, so he likes that stuff. So just, you know, encourage that.
The film again is called Nothing Left to Fear. It's in theaters tomorrow. It's also going to be available on video on demand, right?
Video on demand and DVD.
And you're coming out with a DVD of it next week?
Yeah.
Please explain that strategy to me, Josh.
Well, we were just talking about it without being too complicated. It's just to get it in as many people's minds as possible, basically. I wanted to say hands, but they just want to get it out there. So if you can't make it to the theater as soon as it comes out, you can get it right away on VOD or DVD.
I like that strategy.
Yeah, I like it too, because it's, you know, people can wait around and then forget about it by the time it comes out.
You can see the movie at 8 o'clock tonight at the Burbank AMC and Slash. You are going to be there for that screening of the movie, right?
We're doing Anthony Leonardo. Artie, the third, who's the director, and myself are doing a Q&A after the movie tonight at the AMC Burbank 16.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Will you wear your sunglasses indoors during the movie?
I did that at the Arclight. Okay, all right. We had a screen. We had the premiere at the Arclight in Hollywood, and we had, you know, the red carpet and all that whole deal. And my wife came, and she's never seen it. And so I sat her down, and I said, I'm going to just – and anyway – then about 5 minutes into it, I realized I had sunglasses on. Anyway.
Nothing Left to Fear is the film. Slash is here. We'll take a break. Come back with more with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Slash is in the studio with us talking about his new movie, Nothing Left to Fear.
Slash said, yeah. I've got too much money, you guys. What can I invest in? And somebody said, movies. That's the way to go. That's an easy buck right there.
No, that's not how it went.
That's not how it went at all. No, I think a lot of
people have misconceptions about how much money I actually have. It's funny.
You're filthy rich, Slash. You're filthy rich. You're wearing gold tennis shoes right now.
No, right.
Let's talk about you were able to kind of marry your two loves with this film, in addition to being a producer on the film and being involved in the, you know, casting and direction of the story and everything. You also did the music for the movie. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, when the opportunity to start producing came along, you know, one of the attractive things about it to me was being able to have some control over the actual score of movies.
That seems like the coolest part of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, a great story and a great visual is great, but if you marry that with the right music, that's, to me, is the best entertainment experience.
It takes it to a whole nother level.
So got on the score early and started writing music, based off the script and off the storyboards that Anthony was giving me.
Did you know what you were doing?
Well,
or were you just kind of finding your way?
I've done a lot of music for movies,
right?
And I've done two full scores, but I'm not the guy that sits with the counter and is that professional about it. I just come up with stuff and fit it to the scene, you know, just by memory, you know, or just by looking at it, knowing what the scene is. And so I started writing music, but we knew that we didn't want a guitar based score for this, so we needed something orchestral. So he introduced me to Nicholas O'Toole, who's this great scoring composer, sound designer, and so he and I worked together, and, you know, like, he came up with all the sounds, I came up with some melodies, he came up with some melodies, and we just co-wrote this whole thing. And then we'd have Anthony come down, and the three of us sitting over a computer screen sort of dialing in what we thought the emotion should be, or what Anthony thought
that
the, was
fun.
Lacking. And it was a blast. Yeah. A lot of work, but a lot of this was done when I wasn't there. I was on the road, and so I would have to do it via computer, and I'd have to be able to drop the reels in and sync it up, and all that stuff was technically a whole new world for me. But it was a gas.
It must be neat to come up with a melody, however you do that, Slash, and then to hear an orchestra playing it. I mean, that just must be such a thrill as a musician.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I actually... writing for movies, for me, is a musical experience that, you know, I didn't really, I don't use the same part of my brain that I do for rock and roll.
Right.
And so I go off on a tangent, which is stuff that I would never really apply to a band format. And so it's fun for me because I get to see, I have no idea where I'm going to go myself. You know, it's like uncharted territory, more or less.
I picture myself sitting, and I'm not you, of course, but I picture myself sitting there going, all right, I need to come up with something.
Yeah.
And nothing's coming.
But, well, the thing is you really have to... it's hard to do. It's a challenge. You have to clear your head and you have to ingest the story and the vibe of, you know, if you're doing it after the fact, it's already shot, you really have to take in the visual.
So you get the emotional feeling.
Yeah. And then once you get going, you just have to sort of go with it. And it takes a lot of work. I mean, you might have one idea and how do you expand on that and blah, blah, blah. I was fortunate to be able to work with Nicholas because he had great ideas and his command over the different applications for making these sounds. Because we, you know, we couldn't afford an ADP orchestra,
right.
But he had a really amazing app that simulated every instrument and every kind of configuration or kind of room configuration.
He did it all with an app.
And it sounded like when I first met him, he was playing sounds for me that with your eyes closed, I could have sworn it was an actual wind instrument.
No kidding.
Or an actual
That's cello. Amazing. That's yeah. amazing.
And I'm the guy who only records to tape, and I was really impressed.
Wow.
Slash, what other instruments do you play besides guitar, if any?
You know, all things considered, anything that with strings that doesn't require a bow.
So you can play banjo and ukulele?
I can. I can fake it. I can fake banjo.
I don't
banjo.
See you rocking a ukulele, though.
No, but I've done it. I used banjo on one of the Guns records. And
you know, really?
You can sort of just figure it out for the song and get through it. You know.
That's funny. Nothing Left to Fear is the name of the movie that we're talking about with Slash in studio. Again, it's available in theaters tomorrow, also on video on demand. The DVD is coming out next Tuesday, and Slash is going to be tonight in Burbank at the AMC there, the 8 o'clock screening with a question and answer attached to that. Let's talk about the cast for a minute, because you had a lot to do with it. First of all, I guess Anne Heche is probably the biggest name. People forget what a great actress she is. She doesn't seem like she works that much, but I think she's excellent.
She's an amazing actress. I mean, I remember when she first sort of came out. It was, you know, at some point in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah, when she was with Alan.
And she was great. And I think what happened was she, all that sort of media craziness that went on sort of took over, and yeah. People forgot what a talented actress she is. But her and her husband, James Tupper, came on board and did this and were just amazing. And James, who I'd never seen before, he was in a show a while back, but I can't remember the name of it. So, anyway, but he really impressed me. I mean, as the dad, he was just so believable, and she was just great. You know, fun to work with.
Is it a weird thing to be around actors that are good at it?
You know,
it's a whole different skill.
It's weird being a producer and sitting in a reading. And people, you know, going into character, sitting at a table with a piece of paper in their hands, you're just like, it's very otherworldly.
I'll bet. Me.
Yeah. Did you feel that people, especially when you work with, you know, professionals like Anne Heche, been around a long time, did they take you seriously out of the gate, or did you really have to prove yourself?
I think with everybody involved, when they heard whose movie it was, they all went, okay.
Now, is that okay? Like, let's see how it's going to go?
Well,
or
just
oh,
like,
no?
Well, let's just see, because I have no idea what that means. Right? And then upon first meeting, you know, there's always the obligatory, like your records, or like your music,
yeah,
or something
right.
like that. But then once I got into it, because I really did have a grasp on the whole story and the whole, you know, the whole movie as far as I pictured it. And they were like, oh, okay. He's for real. Anyway, so
he's
let's
for
move
real.
On.
So let's move on now. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting, Slash, because, you know, like you said, you've been a horror fan since you were, you know, before you could read.
Yeah.
You know, you've been a horror fan. So it's kind of like you've been training for this your whole life.
Well, it's a great outlet, because I never had any friends that, you know, I didn't have any horror buddies or anybody to necessarily, you know, express this with. So it was great to have this outlet. But we're talking about actors and stuff.
Yes.
Jennifer Stone is in this movie, and if you know her from Disney, she was one of the girls from Wizards of Waverly Place, which I never saw.
Yeah.
But when she was being cast, I was like, Disney? Are you serious? And Anthony says, no, you know what? She's really great. She goes, she's so into this, it's not even funny. And she does all these physical sort of movements that are pretty inhuman, and she just devoured this role. I think
that's weird.
The anti-Disney role.
Yeah, you know, right.
So.
Is it strange for you to see, like, certain people are really drawn to this type of material? They really love doing this kind of thing?
No, because it's so much fun. You know, I mean, you get to act out a certain way that you don't normally, you know, unless you do this every single day, or
right.
Every movie you do is a horror movie. But for a lot of people, it's a great outlet to just freak out, you know, to really, you know, go to the extreme and stuff. And another guy that is in it is Clancy Brown, who's in Shawshank Redemption and
right.
Highlander, all these great, one of my favorite actors. And I got him down there, and he's just this very, I mean, really, really cool, but very massive, ominous character. And he plays the priest. And that, watching him, you know.
He looks scary.
Yeah. But at the same time, you have to see the movie, but he doesn't actually play a really scary guy. He plays a more benevolent character. But his presence, he came over to the house the other day, and his presence is just like, whoa. Yeah. And he's also the voice of Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob.
Fantastic. Yeah. You're really laid back. Do you, as a producer, at any point have to crack the whip? Because you just seem like that would never happen.
You know, you have your disagreements, but I'm not the yelling type. You know, I'll get my point across somehow. But
with a knife?
Yeah, right.
Slash comes in. He's like, I'm so angry with you right now.
It's like, I'll just, you know what?
I'm screaming at you right now. I'm
So I'm just going to dose you, and that way I can talk to him.
Well, we're very excited that October is finally here and your movie is finally unleashed onto the world. It is called Nothing Left to Fear, in theaters tomorrow and also available on demand. You can get the DVD on Tuesday and iTunes. You can get it on iTunes, I assume, starting tomorrow as well, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
fantastic.
I'm not totally positive. I know it'll be on iTunes. I'm not sure.
And there is a soundtrack that's available in stores as well, right?
There's a soundtrack.
That's available today, isn't it?
It's available. You could order it on Pledge Music.
Fantastic.
And you can order from there, but it is available today. Everybody who's already ordered are getting their deliveries around today or tomorrow.
Well, I hope this is the first of many, many successful and super fun movies for you, Slash. We wish you nothing but the best, my friend.
Thank you very much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Nope, at 9:40. Woo! Don't have time for this.
Sorry, now.
Sorry, we do not
getting
have time.
Nothing but love
sing along
from the kids about the return of this song.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
No!
Ghostly things are gonna happen!
No!
Ooh ah, ooh ah!
Hell no!
Halloween spooks outside my window!
No, no!
Halloween spooks behind the tree!
No!
I wish that the children could see!
No!
I can't find them for the life of me! And then
no.
Halloween spooks outside my window!
No! Pane. No! Hell
we
no!
Have that,
no!
All right, thank you, Tracy. All right.
No.
Okay. We had that conversation a couple days ago.
Wait, I have to stop playing him, but Krauss can do this nonsense?
And listeners, do you see the outpouring of love and happiness and satisfaction when they heard Halloween Spooks? Like, that made October for them. They were so happy.
No way.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, got this music going, sorry.
That's all right. This story just couldn't be any better for me. Because you know I'm a big Frank Sinatra fan. Always have been. Always loved Frank. Always thought he was the chairman of cool. Just could not have been a hipper cat. You know what I'm saying, Daddy-O?
Sure.
This story comes from an interview with Mia Farrow, who was famously married to old Blue Eyes for just a couple years, 66 to 68. But she's got a 25-year-old son named Ronan, who, by all accounts, everyone thought was the son of her relationship with Woody Allen, filmmaker Woody Allen. He's 25 years old. But now that he's grown, he looks exactly like Frank Sinatra. And so the person in this interview with Vanity Fair magazine said, is there any chance that Ronan could be Frank Sinatra's son?
That's a bold question, by the way, to ask an actress that you're interviewing.
It is. But given the... just the eye test, which is, look at this guy. You were in a relationship with Frank Sinatra. Is there any chance? And then Mia Farrow to answer, possibly, makes a fascinating story.
That's a hardcore yes, isn't it?
She does say in the interview that she remained in a relationship with Sinatra throughout the remainder of their lives, even after they divorced. We never really broke up, she said. Now, they were both married to other people later on in their lives. So
right.
This is intriguing. But if, in fact, Sinatra is the dad, he would have been 78 years old when Ronan was conceived in 1987.
You can buy that, can't you?
Absolutely, I could buy that. Only two people I could ever buy that from. Frank Sinatra and Jack Nicholson. The only guys I could think could have babies at 78 years old.
And by the way, I'd like to add that Mia Farrow wasn't the only broad that Sinatra was banging at 78.
That's right, baby. Well, now Frank's widow has come forward, and she says the story's just a bunch of junk, she says. I bet you want to think that, Barbara.
Yeah.
Don't you? You cold, cold woman. It's just a bunch of junk. There's always junk written, lies that aren't true, said Barbara. It's a phony deal, she said.
What is she?
What are you, from the 1930s, Barbara? Seriously. Are you a 1930s gangster?
It's a phony deal, see? I know for a fact that all Blue Eyes was me. It's a bunch of junk.
It's a phony deal.
Yeah. Here's my favorite part to cap off the story. Ronan has now weighed in on his own mother's claim, tweeting yesterday morning, "Listen." This is a tweet. This is the tweet. "Listen. We're all possibly Frank Sinatra's son."
Well, that's a good point.
He's got a point. Yeah, so good for you,
that's
Ronan.
A good point.
Yeah.
I don't know that Sinatra was famous for his monogamy.
He, I can tell you for a fact,
was not.
Was not famous for his monogamy.
He spread it around.
Yes, he, for what Frank wanted, Frank took.
Yep. And no one argued.
God bless him.
Did he have Marilyn Monroe as well, Ralph?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There have been no DNA tests regarding this kid. There probably never will be. But Nancy Sinatra, Frank's daughter, said regarding Ronan, "He is a big part of us, and we're blessed to have him in our lives," she said about their relationship with that man. Why would he be a part of the Sinatra family's life if there was no connection whatsoever? So, anyway, I like the story. Kris Jenner is horrible. All right, next story. No, you know who's talking badly about her? Her sister-in-law, Karen Houghton, is the sister of Bruce Jenner. Bruce won't discuss the state of her marriage. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not Bruce Jenner's sister. I misread the story. This is Kris Jenner's sister.
Really? Her own sister?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Her sister is spilling some dirt to In Touch Weekly magazine, saying that her sister Kris, and I quote, "is not behaving like a mom of six and likes to get drunk and flirt with her daughter's men."
Ugh.
Oh, nothing sadder than a drunk old broad hitting on her daughter's boyfriend.
Right, can't you find your own men? Ugh.
She also claims it's a big issue in the marriage between Bruce Jenner and Kris Jenner. As I can imagine, it would be. And Kris, and Bruce, rather, has sought out a lawyer. So, Bruce may be getting over the wall. He may be making a break for it. God bless him. I'm all in favor of that. Britney Spears is finally speaking out about the government shutdown. Finally getting her take on it.
This is great.
She tweeted yesterday. I'm sorry, this
morning.
Tweeted this morning.
That's what she tweeted.
Huh? She tweeted. Somebody tell Congress to get to hashtag work, bitch.
See what she did there?
Her new single.
Hey, that's the name of her song.
It's called Work, Bitch.
That is
and
great.
So she thinks that Congress should
get back to hashtag
work, bitch.
Are we stalling for beer mug again?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Get back to work, Congress. She becomes suddenly British very often.
Yes, she does. She and Madonna.
Very often.
Britney Spears. What about her?
I like to see both sides of the aisle just voguing to that song. Just crank it up in the halls of Congress. Just have them go nuts, twerking and voguing and whatever the kids are doing these days. The Charleston, whatever.
I don't think they're doing the Charleston.
Whatever dance move they're into.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through?
Come on.
She's a human!
Speaking of the government shutdown, AMC Theaters is doing what it can to help the people who are federal employees. Let's say you're a federal employee and you've been furloughed. You got a lot of free time now. Maybe you're going to go to the movies. Well, if you go to AMC Theaters and you present your government or military ID, they'll give you a free small popcorn.
Yeah!
That's like a 15-cent value.
How dare you? They're trying to do something for somebody. What are you doing for the people who are furloughed from government jobs, Bean?
I'm hoping the government stays shut down forever. That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, man. They said the offer is good until common sense is restored in Washington, D.C. Or, more likely, until the shutdown ends or we run out of free popcorn. So there's a lot of clauses to this, but wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Josh Klinghoffer of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 34 years old today. Actor Sean William Scott is 37 years old. Gwen Stefani of No Doubt turns 44. Clive Owen is 49 years old today. Tommy Lee of Motley Crue celebrates his 51st birthday.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Truer words were never spoken. Comedian actor Greg Proops is 54 years old. Lindsay Buckingham at Fleetwood Mac is 64. Roy Horn of the legendary magician team Siegfried and Roy is 69 years old today. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., John, nope.
It's been 2 months.
Improv.
3 months.
Improv Comedy Club in Hollywood on Melrose. That's where Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. We'd love to have you come out and join us.
Not interested.
Go to improv.com or babbleonralph.com for more details and get your tickets. Not only for this week, but we were going to cancel some shows because Kevin was making his Walrus movie.
Yeah.
But that has been pushed back a little bit. So we're going to be doing shows throughout the month of October.
No!
Go to improv.com to get your info and
no!
tickets.
No!
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin Beach. We got the movie beat because it's Friday. From the LA Galaxy, we'll talk to Landon Donovan.
Oh!
We have some contestants for The Amazing Race. They happen to also be LA Kings Ice Girls. Allison and Ashley will join us.
Oh. They're the best Amazing Race contestants ever.
Cousin Sal will be here telling you how to, if you bet, you know, fake bet.
Not legal.
On the NFL.
Kevin.
Of course, I'm talking about credits, not money.
Okay.
And Sam the Armenian Comedian has another podcast.
Come on. Really?
And in this one, Psycho Mike's chasing him around the room with his junk. So that's coming up tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.